fifth year in Congress, and this is the largest press conference that I've seen since I've been here. And this is because this is an issue that matters so much to Americans. This is an issue that doesn't have political boundaries. It's an issue that Republicans and Democrats should never fight about. As a matter of fact, it's such an important issue that it should bring us all together. It's grieved me to watch the arguments and debates take place among my colleagues and even the administration. I think this is something that was worth fighting for. You see, the women behind me are going to tell you stories that you've never heard before. These are unimaginable horrors that they've lived with for their entire lives since they were very, very young. But these are also similar stories that many children, teenagers, women, and even men are enduring nightmares right now as we speak. You see, these women have been fighting since the 1990s. I heard one woman tell us yesterday since 1996. And they have carried with them shame. But I want to tell you something. The shame does not fall on these brave, courageous women. The shame falls on every single person that coldly turned a blind eye to their abuse. The shame falls on every single person that enabled it. The shame falls on every single person that took money to continue it. And the shame falls on the people in power over the past several decades that protected the monster, Jeffrey Epstein, and his cabal that continued a nightmare. Those people deserve the shame. And today, we are coming forward and we are going to fight like hell for these women, because we have to fight like hell for those that are enduring sexual abuse and are living in a prison of shame. Anyone that is being abused, it is not your fault. You should live with no guilt or fear or shame. All of the fault belongs to the evil people that do these things to the innocent. This is the most important fight we can wage here in Congress, is fighting for innocent people that never received justice. And the women behind me have never received justice. And do you want to know why? It's because Jeffrey Epstein somehow was able to walk among the most rich, powerful people, not only in America, but foreign countries. Yesterday, I heard countries like Saudi Arabia, Russia, and even Israel, and other countries. The truth needs to come out, and the government holds the truth. The cases that are sealed hold the truth. Jeffrey Epstein's estate holds the truth. The FBI, the DOJ, and the CIA holds the truth. And the truth we are demanding come out on behalf of these women, but also as a strong message to every innocent child, teenager, woman, and man that is being held captive in abuse. This should never happen in America, and it should never be a political issue that divides us. And I want to thank Ro Khanna and Thomas Massey for doing something brave, crossing political boundaries for a very important fight. And I'm honored to join both of them. And I'm honored that Nancy Mace and Lauren Boebert signed the discharge petition along with myself. And I asked my Republican colleagues not to choose just one path for justice and transparency and accountability, but I asked my Republican colleagues to choose every path for justice and accountability and transparency.
All right. It is Wednesday, September 3rd, 2025. We have fired Owen Schroyer, which isn't true. He quit for exposing Israel, which isn't true. And we're here. The big evil villains. Here we are. Myself with the evil Rob Dude, the horrible people you can't trust. And we're going to continue to do the horrible stuff, exposing the Epstein case wherever it goes. And we're going to continue to expose the mRNA shots and do all the horrible things InfoWars does, because we're the bad guys.
We've got 25% off store-wide for all apparel, but we've decided this week to sweeten the deal by giving you buy one, get one 50% off for either the Shilajit Complex capsules or the Shilajit gummy. These gummies are delicious. They boost your testosterone, your vitality, and so much more. I take them every single day, and I've noticed a marked difference in my life. It doesn't stop there. We've got buy one, get one 50% off for Atomic Defense as well. This is designed using ingredients that have been used for thousands of years to boost immune support. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It doesn't stop there. We are officially launching the Alex Jones War Bonds. You'll see here that there's a code right there. You can pause it. The first person to use this code does get $110 on the store. The way it works is you pay $100. You get this mailed to you. It comes with a custom code that will allow you to get $110 in store credit to the store. So pause it. First person to use this code gets $110, and make sure you show your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
It is the War Room today with Rob Dew, the InfoWars news director here 16 years, former InfoWars reporter, former political J6 prisoner, Joe Biggs, top anti-COVID tyranny lawyer, Tom Renz, and more. And yours truly, the guy that fired Owen Schroyer for exposing Israel. Of course, none of that's true. He quit and they put out all that garbage, but it makes him feel good. So great. I'm the bad guy. I fired him and I work for Netanyahu. Makes you feel powerful. Say it thousands of times. So really painful. All the stuff that's going on, but it doesn't matter. We're going to continue to expose the globalists. We're going to continue to spotlight the victories where we're winning, where we're losing. You're going to get unfiltered next level information here Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. There is so much to get into, so much to break down, so much to cover today. Now, we just in the first five, some stations don't carry that, played MTG. And man, am I proud to be associated with her. She went against the White House. That the White House is reporting. They said, oh, you're an enemy of the administration if you try to release all this. And you couldn't be acting more guilty, though we've never seen any evidence. And all the victims say they never saw Trump, never did anything. The one, Giuffre, that was 16 working at the thing, he fired Epstein over poaching her away and other employees. He first dropped the dime. Epstein years ago told journalists doing anti-Trump biographies that know Trump was after him. But then why is Trump doing this? Well, because it's not a file. It's not a list. It's all the investigations, all the interviews, all the Jane Does, fake and real. It's whatever Comey and his daughter that ran the investigations to control the file left in there. So Trump has them raid when they wouldn't give it up out of New York as a setup. Oh, don't come get in our briar patch. They find out they put him all through it with innuendo, just like Russiagate. Trump flips and says, no, it's bull. That backfires. And he says, go ahead and release it all. Then they release it to the DOJ, to Congress. And Congress goes, oh, 90% of this is old, as I said, because most of it's court case stuff. So there's a lot of dunking going on here. Then they go in yesterday in the hearing with these, whatever, 14 survivors or whatever, victims. But most of them are on record to be victims. And they say, wait, the 30,000 pages or documents, we want to look at this first. We want to make sure it's not people that were innocent or whatever. And so now they're working with Congress. They're going to decide when it's released. And then the media spun it. Oh, look, suddenly MTG, suddenly Anna Paulina Luna, suddenly all these people, they now don't want it released. No, MTG said, nope, override the women, release it all. But the other people, Luna, who's been, voting with the Democrats to get this release, she's like, well, the victims now want a chance to look at it. And I kind of don't blame them because they're probably wondering what's in there.
Yeah.
So the headline will be, Jones calls for suppressing the thing. No, the victims said that now. Because this is very delicate stuff with court documents, as people have seen. But the point is, it's coming out. Whatever is in there, whatever was left in those grand jury records, whatever was left, whatever the Democrats wanted left, Trump is right. I'm just calling balls and strikes. I haven't figured out exactly what's going on yet, but we have Giuffre's brother saying Trump's innocent. We have all these other women saying it.
Yeah.
But the media doesn't pick that up. And so, again, Trump, all the evidence is totally innocent, but the behavior is super guilty. Rob, what the hell do you think's going on here? We're going to play these amazing clips in a moment.
You know, it's hard to get a read on it because he quadrupled down again today saying it was a hoax, and just you know, so his
and not even being specific when he says,
right, he's not being specific.
When he says,
and that's
there's
the problem.
A list. There is no holy grail list.
Right.
And then he just goes, I'm guilty. I mean, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
Right. And when you just say it's a Democrat hoax, well, what is a Democrat? What part of it is the Democrat hoax? Don't just say that and then
go. Well, as Sir has explained, as we first explained, as we know the case, we didn't come up with a talking point.
Yeah.
We knew this case. It is just a whole bunch of stuff that they left, that the Comeys left in there. So I get what, but I agree, it's the communication way he does.
But is he saying that? He's not, like I guess he did kind of, he blamed it on Comey and the investigators and Mueller and saying that they left stuff in there. But when he says it over and over again, just it's a hoax. You know, Gerald from over at Crowder said this. He said, it's just sloppy. He needs to make clear what the hoax is and his involvement, if anything's
I'm the one that first said months ago when this broke, remember they put out that memo that Sunday, and I came on the air Monday and I said, Trump's behind this. Well, you're a traitor, it's Bondi. And of course, day later, yeah, it's me.
Yeah.
Because I made some calls. So I totally agree. His handling is an F minus.
Right.
Evidence of him being involved in anything illegal is like zero. So this is a real conundrum. I think
it is.
Well, we know he's protecting Israel. I mean, as I exposed 15 years ago, sorry, folks. Owen wasn't fired for talking about Epstein and Mossad. We've been talking about 15 years. He was mainly Mossad. CIA knew, though.
Yeah.
So the CIA has asked Trump to cover it up as well.
Well, Ghislaine's dad, you know, he got the ultimate Mossad burial, essentially.
Yeah, at Mount of Olives, and met by the prime minister on the airplane with his coffin. And he was also MI6, so it's all kind of a triad.
Mm-hmm.
But Israel's the main player there. So let's go, as you mentioned it, to Trump, tripling down today.
Yeah.
Then we've got the victims admitting he never did anything, all of them on record. They're confirmed. And then we've got her brother, and then we've got Massey. So this is, look, Roger told me right before Trump got back in, he said, you're never going to get the Epstein stuff. It's all a big mess. There's so much of it and implicates Israel and the CIA, which we already knew, but Roger was right. And so that's where this is. And people say, well, go ahead and bring it out. Well, the names in here are from investigations and things. Just as you're investigated doesn't mean you're guilty. But in the case of most of these guys, oh, yeah, come on. We know what's going on. And they have the women that are the witnesses. And they're scared now because the list is there and it's corroborating what they said. So they think they're in danger because some people have been killed. They want time to see the list and to get it together before it's released because they know if it's them in the list, you know, being raped by these guys, they're in grave danger.
Yeah.
And that's what the Congress, I played it on my show, those clips. That's what they said. Now the clout chasers will say, Jones agrees, don't release it. No, the victims are saying they need time. Rob, if you were a victim of all this rape, and you, at a day ago they released the files, or they have the files, would you want a chance to look at them first as a victim?
Sure. I definitely want a chance to review it. And what I'm amazed is that suddenly there's all these victims that come out. How come they haven't been a part of this whole investigation earlier? Like when it was investigated in 2008?
Well, that's the thing. Always believe a woman. A bunch of them, other confirmed victims were confirmed. They're in files. They've got other eyewitnesses and things. They've got informants. So I think these women are for real.
Yeah.
But you notice that MTG's earlier speech from yesterday, or talking to a reporter for like 5 minutes, she goes, no, it wasn't MTG. It was Anna Pauline Lynn. She goes, well, one of these women doesn't remember who raped her, and she needs deep therapy, psychology to remember.
Mm.
So, you know.
That seems questionable.
Well, it's kind of like, I remember, but if I get it, no.
But it also was, you know, years ago. It was like the night.
Well,
you know, the
people that get raped, especially when they're young, they tend to compartmentalize. That's why they do it in CIA mind control. Declassified would be, some of it was rape, electroshock. The trauma, a little kid will compartmentalize.
Right.
To be able to handle it.
But most of these girls were like, they seem to be 13, 14, 15, 16. You know, and that,
yeah, you're not going to usually have compartmentalization.
It seems like by that time you can at least know, and they might not know. See, the thing is, I think they might not know who some of these important people were that they were. You know, the one lady was saying, "Oh, I was asked to go give massages. Well, they asked me to come do it so many times, I quit school in the ninth grade." You know, she's just sitting there saying that. You know, because I guess she was.
I mean, look, they did the investigation 20 years ago. He recruited hundreds of girls just out of trailer parks.
Yeah.
In one area of Florida.
And they're not going to know who these people are. You know, no, they're not going to know who the governor of New Mexico is when they're in Florida.
Yeah, and they're just now getting this stuff.
Right.
But the point is, it's coming out. I don't know if it's days or weeks or whatever, but some of those congresspeople walked out of there physically crying, looking sick. So I think they heard some really bad stuff. And so whatever it is, We better brace for it. But it doesn't mean exactly what we're told, because if this is 15, 20, 25 years ago with some of these, and they're telling them this is who it was, this is in a Comey report, it's everybody's innocent until proven guilty. And again, that's not me running cover for whoever. My point is we all get due process.
Yeah.
Because I've certainly learned about not getting due process.
You don't get due process.
Well, Alex Jones is a special case.
Yeah, special case. We got it.
Well, so wait, you didn't win the bid, but you won? Well, it's Alex Jones.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So, but here's the thing. We got the dimes dropped. We learned, we broke it here with O'Boyle, that his sources, it was all confirmed, that they had all these files they were hiding from Bonnie. She had 24 hours, 6 months ago, wherever it was, 5 months ago. They raid it, they get it. Bonnie doesn't even look at it. They send it out to all the FBI offices, what you're supposed to do, and they come back and they go, and this has been confirmed, they go, Trump's in there like 35 times. And then they go and brief Trump on it, and whatever it is exactly what I predicted. Melania is a hooker that works for Epstein. That's already been disproven. The fake Jane Doe's where I've been proven to be real. And then I predicted that's what it is. It's all recycled crap. They've already done this before. And Trump's like, I'm not doing a new Russiagate. Shut it down. And I'm not defending that perspective, but as best I can tell, that's what's happened. Plus, the Mossad and MI6 and the CIA have asked to be covered up. So let's go to Trump. This is not tripling down. He's flip-flop. This would be flip-flopping six times, Rob?
Yeah. Septupling down. I was trying to figure out what the number is.
When did they release that memo? Like 3 months ago now? 2 months? On that Sunday night that nobody would sign. Saying Epstein killed himself and wasn't human trafficking and acted alone. There was no blackmail and no accomplices. And the Tooth Fairy's dropping by today. And, you know, Santa Claus is coming down your chimney on Christmas Eve. And, you know, two men can have a baby. But I mean, it's been a long time, and he's just flipped. It's bad.
The messaging is not good. Whoever's given him this advice is not good. I mean, have a press conference and put charts up and show things like, well, here's
you know what Trump ought to do? He ought to have a press conference with all 14 victims saying that only one of them ever saw him and say he didn't do anything.
Right.
So, I mean, he ought to, that's what I said, lean into this, man.
Yeah. I mean, if he's going to, instead of skirting around the edges, you know, which what he's doing, because he doesn't really, he repeats the same thing. And it's
let's go further. This isn't him just doing it for Mossad, MI6 CIA. He's not doing it, but this is what I was worried about. Because the smart move, and I don't mean that myself, because I don't do the smart thing, I do the right thing. But the smart political Machiavelli thing was use the blackmail file on them. You see?
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on. Trump's using it on them.
Well,
guys, can I have another water? Thanks. But I'm not endorsing that. When I war game things, and I don't do this because I care about myself, I'm sick of the lies. It's like I said, Israel stood down on January 6th. Or not January 6th. Israel stood down on October 7th. It was clearly some type of setup. Israel founded Hamas. They fund the leadership that's, you know, protected. This is the pretext for an endless war.
They're not going to investigate until they're done with this conflict. Then there's an investigation.
Until they're done.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I just basically, you know, laid that out. And then I said, the only way Israel can, quote, win this is to carpet bomb and destroy the whole country from end to end. And that should be a genocide and horrible for the people they kill and for their PR. And China will be empowered by this. Israel shouldn't do that. Well, people just took the clip out of me wargaming. Is saying carpet bomb all of it. That's what they do to feel powerful and feel good. But people need to become aware of how that those people operate. So when I say what Trump's doing, and I know I'm right, I'm not agreeing with the decision he made, but I am simply stating the pragmatic reason they did it. And I think it's wrong. And I predicted that he would probably do this before he even got back in. And I said they will double cross him. So he thinks he's got them coming to heel, shutting this down. And it's the opposite.
Yeah. I mean, it's already out there. There's people who, you got to think how many copies of this thing are out there. If they're able to move stuff around and not keep track of stuff, like they, you know, like they, nobody knew where the real files were. And now this third tranche of files that come out and they say maybe 3% is something people haven't seen, which isn't that much. But it's like 30,000 documents. So it's like, we're going to release a ton of documents people have already seen so we can just, kind of gaslight people. And tell, you know, say, we're releasing documents, but it's nothing new. And people want to see something new. People want to see, what people want to see is, you know, videos Diamonds. Of guys coming in that we know are.
Well, we know, Ehud Barak, the Israeli prime minister, but let's move on from that. The Comeys and all of them control this file. That's true. So what do you think you're going to get? Why aren't we hearing, we should be hearing about, where are the thousands of DVDs and hard drives that were in Zorro Ranch, New Mexico, and in New York at his lair, and the Caribbean island, Little St. John's, whatever the hell it's called. See, you never hear about that. The FBI had that. They're covering it up. They're covering up the Mossad connection. And that's the reality here.
Or he was working for the government in addition to doing all the Mossad honeypot stuff. He was working for the government doing life extension stuff at Zorro Ranch. Well, that could have been a whole other thing.
Just like Peter Nygaard. But of course that. Money laundering was the main deal. Life extension and then pedophile stuff. Right. Whatever elites wanted. It wasn't like they weren't even going to get compromised. That's just a club thing. Mm-hmm. They're already compromised. So, but I'm not belittling the pedophilia. I'm just saying from our studies, yeah, that was a secondary or third thing. So, again, there is no simple holy list where they admit they're guilty. There's a whole bunch of crap. Some real, some not. It's like any investigation. So, that's where we are. And I don't want to spend all day on this, obviously. You got a bunch of big guests coming up. But let's go ahead and go to Trump. Yep. Let's go to the victims saying Trump never did anything. And then let's go to, Jufri's brother, and then let's go to Thomas Massie. Here it is.
Right now, there have been survivors of Jeffrey Epstein speaking at a press conference on Capitol Hill. They're calling for these case files, these documents to be released. And Thomas Massie, who is functioning in discharge position to get the House to vote on releasing those documents, says he doesn't believe you're implicated in these files, but many of your friends and donors may be, and he says that's why the Justice Department is redacting them and slow-walking the release. Is the Justice Department protecting any friends or donors, sir?
So this is a Democrat hoax that never ends. You know, it reminds me a little of the Kennedy situation. We gave him everything over and over again, more and more and more, and nobody's ever satisfied. From what I understand, I could check, but from what I understand, thousands of pages of documents have been given. But it's really a Democrat hoax because they're trying to get people to talk about something that's totally irrelevant to the success that we've had as a nation since I've been president. Even if you look at D.C. right now, D.C., it's a totally safe zone. It's called a safe zone. That's a term. It's a term of art. It's a safe zone because it's very safe. You can walk down the street now and nothing's going to happen. No crime, no murders, no nothing. Because we had a lot of problems with certain places, and we still do. All run by Democrats, or for the most part run by Democrats. So what they're trying to do with the Epstein hoax is get people to talk about that instead of speaking about the tremendous success like ending seven wars. I ended seven wars. Nobody's going to talk about because they're going to talk about the Epstein, whatever. I understand that we were subpoenaed to give files, and I understand we've given thousands of pages of files. And I know that no matter what you do, it's going to keep going. And I think it's enough because I think we should talk about the greatness of our country and the success that we're having. I think we're probably having, according to what I read, even from two people in this room, we're having the most successful 8 months of any president ever. And that's what I want to talk about. That's what we should be talking about, not the Epstein hoax.
When are you going to make a decision on your
transmission? He's the only president ever to start taking down the Federal Reserve. He is winning. And I'm not defending how this all been done. It's been handled terribly, but he's just totally sick of it. He had him go raid the files. They sprinkled in some BS about his wife in there. He's just totally sick of it, and he doesn't care. And so that's why he's so confident. No, Trump didn't screw kids. He's not into kids, A and B. He would never let himself be compromised. He didn't get pissed on by hookers. He didn't die last weekend. None of that's real.
And he wants to talk about the successes that he's had.
But we even see other influencers saying, we fired Owen because he broke that Epstein was Mossad. Even though that was out 20 years ago and I covered it more than 15 years ago. I'm not mad at Owen. It's just a microcosm. Did you know we covered up Epstein? Did you know we covered up for Israel? Did you know? It's not just Trump doing it. It's me, guys. I'm bad, too. Because, again, now there's such a great awakening. There's all these people jockeying to say, I'm the holy one. I'm the holy one. I'm the holy one. Are you a holy one?
I thought you were the holy one.
let's go to some of the all these victims say he never touched him.
Yeah, we'll finish up that block of clips.
Yeah, finish that block of clips. Here it is.
I do have to ask, and I know, and it's just something that I think we're compelled to at this moment, with the attention on President Trump, with these questions around a pardon, did anybody see or hear of the president himself doing anything inappropriate as it related to Jeffrey Epstein?
No.
She fought for every survivor who was silenced, doubted, or discarded. And she never backed down, even when the world tried to break her. Today we rally not only in her memory, but in solidarity with every survivor. We are here to say, we see you, we believe you, and we will not stop until justice is served. Because justice is not selective. It does not and must not bend to money, influence, or titles. We are here because every survivor deserves more than a headline. They deserve more than a single conviction. They deserve the full weight of the law behind them. Our demands are clear. Elaine Maxwell must remain in a maximum security prison for the rest of her life. No leniency, no deals,
that's right. Trump better
no
not
special
pardon her.
Treatment. That's right. Send her back to Florida. The Epstein documents must be unsealed. Every name, every detail, no more secrets, no more protection for those who preyed on the vulnerable. And finally, we demand full accountability from every enabler, every accomplice, every person in power who turned a blind eye. The justice system was not designed to serve the powerful. It was meant to protect the people. And it's time it started doing just that.
I think it's shameful that this has been called a hoax. Hopefully today we can clear that up. This is not a hoax. This is real. There are real survivors. There are real victims to this criminal enterprise. And the perpetrators are being protected because they're rich and powerful and political donors to the establishment here in Washington, D.C.
Well, this is a real revolution.
Yeah.
And you got them banning all vaccine mandates in Florida. You've got Kennedy firing all these people, then refusing to leave, caught hiding the desk. You know, Tom Renz is a big pessimist, and I agree with him. But he's got his nose around. He says, no, Trump's really made the turn.
Well, and he said it perfectly on your show today. We have to work with Trump because that's the best chance we have to changing anything. It's not going to get any better, and it can only get worse from here on out. So
yeah, so we better make some big inroads.
Yeah.
And we push.
Yep.
And so much good is happening. And that was my only point. That was never censorship of Owen.
We're not even a year in.
When I would say on air, debate Owen, I think you're too black-pilled, covered the bad stuff Trump's doing, but can we also celebrate some of the positive? Me giving my opinion is not bad.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, that it's so grasping to get a censorship. Please censor me so I can be a victim. Please. Oh God, I'm better than everybody. Oh, I'm good. You're bad. I'm good. I'm the holy one. I'm the holy one.
It took about 4 or 5 years to build the World Trade Center. You know, it took a long time, and it took an afternoon to blow it up and bring it down. So it's really easy to implode something and destroy something. To build it up and do it right takes a long time, and it takes a lot of good people working on it.
Yeah, look how they're running the clip. Millions of views everywhere. When I openly, with Owen, got Nick on his show, that's how I censor, and I came in and said, I'm covering up for Israel. Don't talk about this as a joke. That's one with hardly any views. I mean, we said it was a joke, but they cut that part out. And so this is, again, this is the holiness of it. This is, you know, everyone's holy. Everyone's.
No. You're bad. That's what it is.
No, they're all holy. I've been replaced by a clone, Rob. Yeah. I guess the new clone I would get would probably have better hair, though. You know?
I'm surprised your son didn't out you the other day when you were on the air with him. You're a clone. You're not even my real dad.
The last 5 years, I've had all these scientists on promoting spike protein detoxes that have saved so many people and done all this. And finally, we're like, hey, we better do our own. Let's make the best. We take the two best-selling ones, combine the two with stuff that the government tried to ban so people would die. And yeah, we're selling stuff that really works. Tell us about Ultimate Life Force. It's a horse pill. I take it a few times a year as a detox. So good for cardiovascular. Just one of the ingredients in this alone is on record a game changer they tried to ban.
Right.
This is so important.
N-acetylcysteine, better known as NAC, was widely available pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, during COVID, they took it off Amazon because it was too powerful. Too many people were getting well from it. They say, okay, this isn't a supplement. This is a drug. Now, we're not making that claim this is a supplement, but it is a supplement that is so powerful it could be used and compared to something like that.
And what is NAC?
N-acetylcysteine is the main precursor to your body's master antioxidant, glutathione, right? Glutathione is what your body uses to detoxify everything. But most importantly, your lungs. NAC reduces lung mucus and is incredibly powerful. This is rocket fuel. This is the gasoline. This is the fuel you need to make the glutathione. But more importantly, even than that almost, I was taking a look at Ultimate Life Force, and I forget about these things. These things are something that they wanted to ban even more. The natokinase and the serapeptase, those are compounds that go in and break down blood clots and scar tissue and inorganic things in the body. That's for the spike protein. The cool thing is everybody, every human can get healthy. It just takes different specific steps to get healthy. And that's why becoming knowledgeable about...
Well, that's like breeds of cows. They're like, these cows can handle the heat, these cows can't. These cows can handle cold, they can't. These dogs can handle this, these can't. We're all dogs, we're all cows, we're all the same species, but there's certain things each group can't handle.
100%, I agree with that. And it's so key. I mean, the reason why Methylene Blue has just been such an incredible hit to the audience and to the supporters, listeners, to us, everyone, is because, well, like, we really feel the effect, you know?
It's like the Garden of Eden. God made all these things to work together.
It's all there. The information's readily
available. No, it's absolutely incredible. These are great products. They fund the operation. And, folks, it's common sense. Go get them. TheAlexShowStore.com. Get the bovine colostrum, get the methyl drive, get the power plant, get the methylene blue, get it all.
What's cool about supplements, at least to me, is you're able to look at these different genetic groups, and then you can go, okay, they need help with this one thing, we got a compound for that.
All we did was go out with the top-selling products for all the studies and just combine them together.
100%. And I mean, you look at this product, the NAC alone makes it worth buying, but you've got four or five other things in there directly targeted to addressing COVID and long COVID.
People say, well, I don't have COVID right now. The point is, it's good for you, period.
100%. We've all got scar tissue in us. We've all got issues. We've all got these inorganic compounds, these microplastics. When you look at something like Ultimate Life Force, it might be able to address some of those situations. You look at this, you look at the other products we're offering you, it's kind of hard to do an individual pitch for them because they're all so amazing. It's incredible. We make this stuff for you and for ourselves. Everyone at the InfoWars office is gobbling these supplements left and right. That's why I made these, is so I could take them.
And then you designed it to go with our Ultra Methylene Blue.
Absolutely. That's the key. Before any, like, man or woman, young and old, if you're on Methylene Blue, you got to take it.
Everybody loves the formulas, and I've noticed if I take both together, the energy is totally insane. Each one is very strong on its own.
Methyl Drive is something that every person in the country should take. This is something so powerful they tried to ban it.
So the Methylene Blue is like the engine and gasoline. These products together is the nitrous oxide.
Exactly. It turbocharges.
Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
All right, I don't want to spend time on Ellen anymore. And I talked about someone on the show today, so I got to give it a headline, put it on X and Rumble. But when I saw that, I didn't watch the whole thing Monday, and I watched some of it Tuesday. I never watched the whole 5.5 hours. It was all scripted. That's what made me so mad. To sit there with innuendo and act like he was censored and wasn't paid money and all this stuff that wasn't true. But look at the aftermath. Alex Jones fires Owen Schroyer in ugly breakup over Donald Trump. Did not fire him. You know, did not happen. And then just look at, let me flip this around because I'm over here in the side shot. InfoWars host abruptly kicked off show for turning anti-Trump. Just totally not true. MAGA Rising star kicked off InfoWars for turning against Trump. This is Yahoo News. This is the front of everything. Owen Schroyer quits InfoWars, says Alex Jones told him he was too anti-Trump. It said on air. I think we should just, I say that as what you just said. That's not censoring him. That's me debating him. That's what's interesting about this.
Yeah.
InfoWars host quits after being branded to Annie Trump.
Now, did Opie and Anthony always get along when they did a show together, or, you know, whenever, you know, no, they, it's conflict, and that's what makes it interesting, is two people talking over ideas.
Well, I put microphones, if you remember, in all these studios,
yeah,
and wanted you guys to say, hey, you know, during a break, we disagree, pop in, but no one will ever do it.
Right.
And then when I told Owen he got his job 9 years ago, 9.5 years ago, I said, you know, sometimes I'll let you know I'm coming in, but if I got breaking news, I'll come in, it makes it exciting, come in my show. They'll never do it. I set up all the studios connected so people could come in during the day when they had breaking news and set a time on the show where they would just break in with something.
Mm-hmm.
We paid like $50,000 for high-tech cables through all these things.
Oh, yeah.
And we never do it. We've seen it with election covers, though, where Owen can be in here.
Right.
Doing a great job. He would do with the numbers. Yeah. You know, and I'd be in there.
Now we'll go to all three.
But that's the best. People say, what's the associate? Well, he would, I think like once a month lately, he'd try to come in with something. Or I'd like bring an article. He would even get pissed at that. So it's all drama queen stuff. But look, MAGA civil war erupts as top InfoWars host storms out over Alex Jones' unrelenting Trump tirades. So it's everywhere. Corporate media, you name it, that we were censoring. And again, he did that little trick where he said, well, if you're desperate, you can pay me more, I'll stay, but I'm still going to put him on a show. And I went, you know, it's okay, man. You can do it. It was like a favor. Then he goes on air, I just wanted to come back for a week and he kicked me out, Rob. There's no media place in the world someone says I quit, but I'm still coming back on the show. I didn't care about him promoting his other show with it. I knew this all was a stunt. Me coming back against is what he wanted. It's about integrity and for the audience to know that what he did was the lie. He put out the stuff that wasn't true, not me, because I'm not going to have somebody that I've nurtured and was totally nice to sit there and lie about me and this operation, what we've done. So that's why I'm so pissed.
Yeah. Oh, I can tell you're pissed. You've definitely shown that. And, you know, all I could say is it sucks to be in this position at this point, because you think, you know, you work with somebody for a long time and you think you know who they are, and you know, and him going, oh, I still love the info war, I still love the info war, then why going out the door do you just start talking shit like that?
Well, no, he wanted he does the attack and then acts like he didn't know what he did and then goes, oh, I'm just nice.
Yeah.
Which I predicted, but here's the thing. Our philosophy is like a talk radio philosophy on TV. And you've been here 16 years. I've hired people I think have integrity and are smart. And listeners get confused. They go, your host is saying something different than you. Well, because we disagree on some basic things. It's that it's so fundamental that I'm so hands-off. Like Harrison Smith, when I asked him yesterday morning, I said, have you ever censored you? He said, no. In fact, it's kind of scary. Other than you sending me articles or guest ideas, I couldn't imagine, like, it's totally hands off. It's actually crazy that there's no governor.
Right.
So it's the total opposite that, because that's what I am. So to say that I'm opposite of that, so somebody can say they're the good guy, I'm the bad guy, they're the real thing, I'm the fraud, that's trying to take my identity.
Well, and there's no
my integrity, my name, my honor.
Right. There's no producer in here like saying, oh, you got to say this, you got to say this. No, the producers are saying 10 seconds left till the end of the clip. That's all they're saying back there. There's no, you go to a news organization, any network news organization, the producer's telling them what questions to ask, telling them how to respond to an answer. They're not just saying, oh, there's 10 seconds left of the clip. They're saying, no, ask him this. Oh, don't let him talk about vaccines. Cut him off.
Yeah, we've never had that, but I said Governor Pritzker was a Republican. They make pop my ear twice a day on my show because I demand it. They're like, hey, boss, he's not a Republican. So, cause I'm really smart, but I do so much live stuff. I do these weird brain farts.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, you played the Pritzker clip today. He actually looks like he's losing a little weight. I'm kind of surprised.
Probably on the Gila monster.
Yeah, he probably is. Yeah, he's probably taking it to somebody else's.
So, but my point is, I'm not responding to these attacks because it hurts us. In a sick way, all this drama stuff gives us more viewers. And that's why Owen did this, because, you know, he knows he's getting it too. I really don't like this stuff. I mean, you know, I'm Mr. Non-Infight.
Big time.
But I'm not going to take it. Remember David Knight?
Yeah.
He put a tweet out a year before I fired him saying, I'm being censored. So I walk into his office and I say, who are you censored by? He goes, I'm not talking to you, blah, blah, blah. And I said, listen, David, you say you're censored one more time. And he basically went, it was the same thing here before. He goes, they didn't upload my full show. And I went, okay, I'll talk to him. The guys, and by the way, it uploaded like 15 places. One place, only part of it uploaded. And they waited, and I heard both the sons and said, your sons are in charge of uploading now. And then finally, a year later, they upload an hour, not 3 hours, and he goes crazy and goes, I was attacking Trump today. I wasn't watching the show that day. And by the time he was bitching about it, they'd already found the error and put it up. Imagine working in an environment where you have hosts that are waiting to be screwed. Just, oh, years go by. How can I say I'm being censored? How can I? They didn't upload my show today. They only uploaded part of it because of an error. An encoder broke. Or, you know. And I said, that's it. You're fired, man. You finally got what you want. But the dishonor of that, you know, it's just like, someone waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for something. It's disgusting.
Yeah. And it's a shame that people can't see the bigger picture of what's going on and go, you know, coming out with this stuff right now at this time it's just like, why would you do that? Why would you do that? Why would you try to start something to gain controversy? Because, you know, and then he says he wants to stay and go down with the ship, but he's not staying and going down with the ship. And we're not even going down yet.
Like, we're actually winning. We're actually winning. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Remember what he did in November when they had the fake auction? He didn't even call me anybody. He called the producer and said, I quit. And then went and did a fundraiser for his own thing. And then I let him slink back in the next day. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, I can't take that type of abuse, man. I can't be a villain when, quite frankly, Owen's a villain.
Well, and you've always, you know, if anything, I think sometimes you're too nice to somebody, because we brought a lot of hosts in through the years and you like to build them up. And sometimes I think you build them up a little too much and they think they're bigger than their britches. And I think that's,
well, we've had some hosts that we hire and they go, I'm not even doing a show.
Yeah. I'm not going to prep. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to walk in and just start, you know, shouting stuff out 5 minutes before the show. It's like, hey man, you got to prepare. Yeah. These guys got to know what they got to get prepared. I don't know who you think you are, but. You know, you got to do it a little differently.
Well, Owen was such a funny, smart young man, and he was a dream. We would go out to eat, all of us hang out on the road. We were good friends.
He's a badass, confronting people in the street.
So funny.
Yeah.
And then when did he start becoming dark? About 3 years ago?
It was definitely after Jan 6. I mean, something happened. And, you know, I mean, obviously going to jail is not going to make you a happy person.
But he got like this before that.
Yeah. Well.
Imagine if I called you up and went, I've got the cards, Rob. Are you really desperate? I mean, it was literally like I was like, is you trying to like audition for Patrick Bateman Monday? And that's why I was like, I just started getting tears in my eyes. He was being so mean to me. And I said, no, thanks. I'll be friends. I was like, hey, well, since you're doing your new show, you know, I'm sure it's going to be great. We're having a network. We're doing, we got new owners coming in. I still want to work. He's like, yeah, I don't know. We're done. And then Harrison heard that and goes, yeah, when I thought we were getting shut down in November, I said, hey, maybe we should do co-hosts sometimes together. And he goes, no, I don't want to work with you. And I'm telling you, did you see?
You know, he's what I think he's doing is saying, I'm going to be a lone wolf and I'm going to cast out everybody that ever worked with me. And I'm not going to work with them anymore.
No, that's fine because frankly, Owen, you're so fucking negative. Your show sucked in the last year and nobody was watching. But I just loyally left you there and said, he's going to burn out. He's going to quit. But you don't get to then boost yourself by saying we're censors and villains. And so I hope he enjoys, you know, the little crew of people that are worshiping and everything, because they'll turn on him in a second for publicity. That's all they do is backstab, backstab, backstab.
Yeah, there's a pattern emerging on people who claim to be on the right, and they're only interested in one thing.
Well, here's the deal. They bankrupted my parents. They bankrupted me. And I don't see myself as a victim. I'm happier than ever. But fighting and winning is more important than ever. And so, to me, anybody that attacks us when we're down, anybody that piles on with the enemy when we're down, well, he told me on the phone Monday, he goes, I don't want to go down with the ship. He goes, I'm sick of hearing about this fight. I said, dude, you're getting your paycheck.
Yeah.
He even tried that thing. You know, I haven't gotten a raise. And I said, oh, and I don't have the numbers, but... I said, you've gotten almost 100% raise, because I mean, I got a good brain. And I called you that night and I said, get the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And we could technically put it out if he denies that we are. We've got the authorization. I checked with lawyers, but you got an 87% raise?
I don't know what the percentage is, but it was a lot.
It's 87% I mean, over 2018. Well, I mean, it's not hard. It's 87% increase. And that's not counting bonuses. Now, do you think he really believes when he said that, that that was true? If you had an 87% raise in 4 years, would you know that, Rob?
Oh, yeah. You would definitely know.
It didn't come the first few. It came the first.
And, you know, the way he was couching it is the cost of living has increased since 2018. It's doubled, is what he kept saying.
But he said, I haven't gotten a pay increase.
Right. And then he paused and he goes, well, maybe I got to check on that. And then he kept going. And then he said it a couple more times. And that, you know, when I saw that the first time, I'm like, why would you say that? Why would you go on a live stream and say that when you know it's not true? And I knew it wasn't true. I looked at that. I'm like, I know that's not true, you know. But
that was that's why I got so mad. It was all premeditated when I was watching it. Remember, I called you during it. I couldn't watch much of it because I was taking my daughter to a movie. But I said, "Watch, we'll be accused of firing him tomorrow." And you guys were like, "Yeah," because he's saying you wouldn't let him come back on the show.
Right. He didn't get to do the goodbye tour.
Well, because as soon as I didn't give him more money, he went, fine, I quit, but I'll do you a favor. He said, like, something, I think it was exactly that.
You know, the only thing.
Mean, something like, if you really need me to, I will do one more week. And I said, no, that's okay.
Well, who does it?
And that's how they hang the hat on the banning him.
Right. Well, who does the goodbye tour? If you're retiring, you do a goodbye tour, right? Rolling Stones are going to do a goodbye tour. Black Sabbath does a goodbye tour. You know, they don't quit. Well, some of them quit and then come back out on the road again. But if you're any broadcaster who's broadcasting, they say, well, this will be my last show. I'm retiring. And they talk about.
Well, you don't call up the guy that's done everything for you and say, well, if you're really desperate, pay me more money and I'll stay. But I'm going to promote my new show. And I mean, with a very arrogant voice. And I wasn't in competition with some of the shows. And I was just like, this is freaking weird. I was like, oh, and I'm getting on the phone, man. I was just like, goodbye. And he was like, what? I think he thought I was going to roll over and give him a raise or something. And he's going to launch a new show. I don't know what he thought. Hmm. You know, he hasn't even, the crew never talked crap about him. You know, now that he's gone, they've told me how he acted because they heard how he was acting to me. Did he do the thing to you where he wouldn't even really talk to you and like look you up and down like you're a pile of shit?
No, and I never saw him do that to me. We didn't talk a ton. Like he came in the last week and we actually shot a video for one of the, you know, the fake beer commercial, the Cuck Light. We actually did one for football season. And so that's why I was kind of surprised when all this kind of broke down. Cause the plan was to release it, tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think, is the kickoff of the NFL. So we did something on the gay cheerleaders or the male cheerleaders that are now everywhere and they're making a big deal about it. And so to me, that was all normal. That was all like, okay, this is cool. We're all, you know, everything would seem normal. That's why I
called
kind of
and said, if you want Kyle Serafin, here's the news. And that's the censorship.
Yeah.
Which, by the way.
And we actually, I think we shot that Thursday. No, we shot it Wednesday. I think we shot it Wednesday. So that would have been the day before the
Well, concert. Enough about him. I'm going to let you take over. You are loaded for bear. You got such a huge broadcast prepared. You probably just want to do 30, 40 minutes with the Rams. I don't even want to hit all the rest of this.
Yeah.
You got Joe Biggs. And then we had some key intel on the guy that really exposed what COVID was first. Boyle, was he murdered? Dr. Francis Boyle, what a great patriot. That's coming up. But let me just do this real briefly here. We're not supported by the Queen of England or BlackRock or Benjamin Netanyahu. We're supported by you. And your word of mouth, your prayer, everything is what moves the dial. You're the horsepower. You're the blood, the guts, the brains, the eyes, the whole nine yards. So we got a big sale going at thealexjonesstore.com. We've expanded and enhanced the sale on thealexjonesstore.com to supercharge our efforts in the information war. Now, not only do you get 25% off store-wide on all Patriot apparel, all the T-shirts and ball caps and everything, but we're also offering you buy one Atomic Defense or Shilajit gummies that are so important, or Shilajit capsules to get 50% off on the next bottle. Plus, we're also pleased to announce the launch of the Alex Jones War Bonds, which are a nice little collectible piece of art. Get your War Bond now for $100 and receive it in the mail with a promo code for $110 in the store. So if you're going to buy the product, you should get it, have the little piece of art. We can actually show you what it looks like. This is the best sellers this week. Blacked Out InfoWars shirt, limited edition Gulf of America shirt, Alligator Alcatraz shirt, the tinfoil hat kit, Obedience to God Circle Star hat. And they're selling out the collectible trench knife, battlefield knife, and the tactical dagger. And that's 40% off at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you all for your support and everything you've done, because without you, we won't be here.
And that war bond looks pretty cool, too. And it's something you can stick on your wall. And essentially, you're getting paid $10 to order it.
Well, I mean, look, it just makes it fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing. And, I mean, look at this article right here. Bloomberg, want to slow climate change? Stop having babies.
Yeah.
And then here's Bloomberg. Only immigrants can reverse America's baby bust. They want to replace Europeans, folks.
Well, and all this brainwashing with the millennials now identify as, like, almost 20% identify as LGBT of millennials.
Oh, yeah. And so Rob, I know you were going to hit this, too. What do you make of Xi Jinping on a hot mic saying, yeah, we just have people's organs, we live forever, basically?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You think of China as being like the gold standard of organ harvesting, but actually it's, you know, the United States does it. We just do it under the guise where we're not driving vans up and pulling people in of the Falun Gong religion and taking their organs. And which probably have good organs, because these people eat well and they exercise and they probably do have good organs. But yeah, this is the elite mentality right here. You're looking at elitists saying.
And they're talking about body parts.
Sure. And because that's what it is. What was Nygaard doing? He was talking about, you know, injecting mutilated, aborted babies into his system. The guy's playing beach volleyball at 80, you know. So there's definitely something to their science, their mad scientists, that they want to create this, this immortality that they're going for. And they want to even achieve immortality. That's what they're saying. And organ transplants. And that's what, so they look at us as just commodities that they can trade. So they went, oh, we see this person, we're going to take their organs. We see this person, we're going to take their organs.
Human resources.
Yeah. It's literally what we are. And that's why they call us human resources.
Well, in closing, I've been particularly aggressive on the Owen thing because we've been over backwards for him. And we don't deserve to be the villain so he can play the hero. And he really attacked his crew, this institution, with what he did. And when I saw him after the attack put out a video, oh, I'm a friend. It's all played like that. And the innuendo and the lies and all of it. And so I see through it, man. And so, again, Owen, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., you live right down the street 2 miles away. Come in here and be a man and debate me live on air tomorrow. Come on, let's go.
I mean, if he wants publicity, that's going to be the biggest thing.
I don't want publicity. I'm going to hand him his pay stubs and say, you get a raise? You got an 87% raise the last 5 years. Now, when did I ever tell you not to talk bad about Trump? See, he can't come here because it's not true. And some people say, well, why are you so pissed? Because I'm willing to die for this, folks. I've lost everything I've got, basically. Tell the truth, and I love it. And I'm not going to let somebody steal my integrity to make themselves look like a big man. And if it's my enemies doing it, I know they're evil, so it's not personal. I don't care about my enemies and the lies and things they've done. It has no effect on me. But somebody that I've broken bread with hundreds of times, somebody who I tried to help, somebody who I tried to lift up doing that to me and my family, this organization, has got a big problem. And that's why I'm pissed. And I apologize to the listeners for yelling and screaming yesterday. I was just thinking about, do I sit here and take the high road? That's actually the low road. Or do I tell people what I really think? Because I was pissed off. And I just gave people integrity, not a scripted, rope-a-dope, you know, thing to say really horrible things. You know we're going to get picked up, but not completely say, because you know you'll get exposed. It's the premeditation, man. It's the premeditation. I didn't know we had Patrick Bateman working here, you know. I'm serious.
Hmm.
Was he always Patrick Bateman, or when did he become Patrick Bateman?
I don't think he was Patrick, as you're saying, Patrick Bateman in that picture that we just showed. Because you guys used to do, I forgot how many times you would come in and sit, and y'all would do co-host the show together.
Well, he would always ask me to.
Yeah.
In the last year, he like, I'd see him in the hall, and he'd go like, hey, come on the show. But I got now that he would act pissed at the crew, and I'm like, oh, now it all clicked. It was a setup. So he's like, how do I say I'm censored? Okay, this is my show. I see it all now. It's really sick. All premeditated, all planned out. And God, what did I do to him? I mean, it's like when I throw the hat and famously hits his head. Do we have that?
It's in today's show folder.
That's all he got. He's like, he would hang over me and make guests come on. Like, Nick Fuentes is on, or big guest. Hey, did you talk to Owen? You want to go on? You want to call Owen? I'd text Owen or have the, hey, see if Owen's got a slot if he wants him on. Most of the time I would say no. How is me offering him a guest abuse and just raping his integrity, raping his speech, just raping and just I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to get you a big guest. I'd walk in and say, did you just see Fox News, the crew? Tell Owen this just happened. And reportedly, a couple times he'd just walk off. Like, he gave me a clip. God damn, that fucking censor just, I mean, imagine the evil that I have engaged in. I didn't know I was such a criminal, Rob.
I think that was the day. Somebody posted this picture this morning and said this is the day Owen decided to quit.
Yeah, when I say Patrick Bateman, I just mean it's a sociopathic. You know, guess what? He won't have us to kick around anymore. He's going to be out there with all his little buddies and all his little pals and all the drama queens and all the people and you know, all this stuff. He thinks the taint of InfoWars, he's embarrassed of InfoWars. Think of my Stetson. That is a good throw by me, actually.
It's a good throw.
And Owen did a good job.
That was a Jussie Smollett day, too. I think there was definitely Smollett news breaking on the...
I threw it good, but Owen did.
He had to maneuver to get it.
He gets 60% of that. But this is censorship. I came in to dominate. He was talking about Israel. Netanyahu called and said, get in there with the cowboy hat, throw it his head. In fact, I was going to remember this, Owen. We could have a gift of this. Oh, keep rolling it. This is like savage censorship. This is just like a vicious hatred. But see, he overmaneuvered. I was actually dead on. Can you guys slow that down? Now, I'm going to give myself 60% credit down here. This is a whole new controversy.
Well, it definitely makes a turn. It turns to the right, and then it kicks back left. If you throw a frisbee, it does that sometimes.
But see, that
and then it'll go.
Look at me just over his shoulder with Netanyahu's orders. Now watch. See, if he'd actually stay where he was, though, was dead on. We should do it. Ask AI. See,
it turns. Yeah.
Ah. That was Netanyahu ordered that. I got a call. Like, yes, Netanyahu. He goes, go throw the cowboy. Yes, Netanyahu.
We must throw hat onto him.
Yes, Netanyahu. Yes, I will do it for you. That was the old Owen, though, before he joined the dark side.
Rise, doth. Destroyer.
Patrick Bateman approved right there.
If we don't destroy the Jedi, there'll be civil war.
All right. Massive censorship coming up, exposing Big Pharma as we win. Massive censorship with Joe Biggs. Massive Israeli control. Massive evil. Total evil. Total censorship. InfoWars are not good. Everyone else is bad. We'll be right back with Rob Dew, another evil, horrible censor.
You're watching The War Room.
Oh, here it is. Bovine Colostrum Plus. This is what I was looking for. This is the only thing that works on a monstrous stomach like mine. If it works for me, it will work for you. Order yours at the website below.
Charging into a goblin's nest. Goblin vomit. Thank you.
Alex on a top-secret shoreline mission to handpick nature's vitamin-packed sea moss before the globalists patent it. He's scooping it up like it's Cyber Monday in the supplement aisle. But suddenly, the 20-foot-tall sea moss mutant erupts from the tide pool like Godzilla. Alex dashes like he just saw a new Fauci vaccine. Will he make it or become the monster's meal? To be continued.
Back to the War Room. I'm your host for the near future, although we're already talking about, you know, different moving and shaking maneuvers we could do. And but let's talk about this. And we have this clip, guys, so get ready to go to the Trump clip. Trump says tariffs could replace federal income tax. Well, that would be dandy. I would be down for that. Eric Doherty posted a video of President Trump of the White House discussing the economic policy of tariffs over taxes. In the clip, the president can be heard discussing the success of the U.S. under the late 1800 tariff policy and the negative change to post-federal income tax. We're the richest ever from 1850. It was all tariffs. We didn't have income taxes from 1850 to 1913. Oh, the year the Federal Reserve was started. Trump said, going on to discuss, the U.S. became so rich under the tariff policy of the late 1800s. So let's go to that clip now and get a little history lesson from Trump. And I think this could be an interesting development. Here it is.
You've also mentioned before they could possibly replace federal income tax.
Possibly.
Do you think that's
someday it's possible? It used to be. Yeah. So if you go back to 1913 is when they ended tariffs. We were the richest ever from 1850. It was all tariffs. We didn't have income taxes. From 1850 to 1913. In the 1887, they had the Great National Tariff Act. And it was a group of people that got together because our country was so rich, they didn't know what to do with the money. We had so much money, they didn't know what to do. It was a group of very prominent people that were set up to hand out money to everybody. Because we were the richest we ever were. Proportionately, we were in 1887, around that time. Even in 1913, we ended them in 1913. How did that work out? And then we went to the income tax system, and then we had the Depression. And by the way, a lot of people try and say that, oh, tariffs with the Depression. No, they ended in 1913, and then we went to income tax, and then in 1929, you had the Depression. They did try and bring it back in 1931-32, but the Depression had long started, and this poor, beautiful nation was gone. It was gone. We suffered for 25 years. It took 25, 30 years to really recover from the Depression. And we don't ever want to see that happen again. The tariffs are vital to the success of this country. When I say I ended seven wars, at least half of those wars were ended because of the power of tariffs. I was able to say, well, we're not doing any business with you, or if you go into war, we're putting a big tariff on you. And all of a sudden they announced that the war was settled. I settled seven different wars.
But what do we have? We have a judge now saying, oh, we're going to end these tariffs because these are starting to work and we can't have that work because, you know, I'm funded by the Federal Reserve in some way, shape or form. And let's look at what these judges are doing. Here's another, these Obama judges. Obama judge releases 22-year-old transgender accused of threatening to kill Senator Marsha Blackburn. It's the same judge who released child trafficker and MS-13 thug Kilmar Garcia from prison. Appeals court rejects President Trump's invocation of Alien Enemies Act to deport Venezuelan illegals. So that's the Fifth Circuit of the first federal appeals court to rule directly on a March 14th presidential proclamation invoking the 1798 law to justify rapid deportations. And she says, but only the judge, Lesney Southwick, says the act gives the government expansive powers to detain, deport, citizens of hostile foreign nations, but only at times of war, during invasion or predatory incursion. Well, what do you think's been happening the last 4 years? Well, what's been happening the last 40 years? And if you look at the numbers of presidents in the past that have that have been, you know, that have deported. It's in the millions. It's in the millions. Here's another. Obama Judge Boasberg releases woman jailed for repeatedly threatening to murder President Trump. So these judges are on a mission to destroy America. The judges want to destroy America. They want to do anything they can to stop the success of this country because they want us to be living in a third world state.
How do I explain to people that my tongue is blue? Because I love this stuff, methylene blue. I'm able to work like 18-hour days sometimes. This stuff is like rocket fuel.
I didn't know you were going to plug this. You even ordered it yourself, I later learned. What is the effect of our medical-grade methylene blue been on you, Roger?
Incredible, both physical and mental energy and focus. I mean, it really is like rocket fuel. Oh, you still like Brain Force? Back when I did the show with Owen Schroyer, the original, the real War Room, I was a big aficionado of Brain Force and Brain Force Plus. This is even a greater product. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Well, I've not had any since Friday. I only take it every couple of days. So I'm going to take my dose of methylene blue, my Topo Chico. It is amazing. And people ask me, what does it do? It cleans out your mitochondria. It skips the oxidization process in the cell. It's like iodine at the next level. It is such a game changer. Roger Stone, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. God bless you.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back to the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dude. Thank you for joining us. Our guest right now is Thomas Renz. You can find more about him at tomrenz.com, tomrenz.substack.com, and renz-law.com. Big advocate, for anti-COVID tyranny that went on, big advocate for truth and what's going on. We've got a video here that I want to play, and I'll get his comment on it later. This is Kevin McKernan. I've been following a lot of his information that he's been putting out since he kind of hit the scene when he discovered that there were the SV40 DNA was in the Pfizer vaccines. He was testing unused vaccine vials that had expired, and they were finding SV40 in it, which is what they found in the polio shot that they were giving people in the 50s that, oh, caused all this cancer. So it's from Jim Ferguson, UK. So let's go to this clip now, and he talks about the cover-up collapsing. Here it is.
This is not conspiracy theory. This has been published in the BMJ by Retsef Levy, and they go through this process, one, where they ran these vaccines in the trial, and how they changed that when they decided to go and inject the rest of the world. This is traditionally a mortal sin in vaccine manufacturing or in any sort of biologic manufacturing. The process is the product. You change the process, you have to go through trials again. And the EMA even asked them to do that, although they failed to. They asked for another trial of 250 people once they changed the process, and that data was never delivered. So this bait and switch is very important for you to understand why the trial data is of absolute zero consequence to what we're actually seeing in the field. Those numbers are a caricature of what they're actually doing with these injections. They know something. Pfizer, very early on, they had the data on this from their trial. They knew this was going to happen, and they quickly went out and acquired cancer companies. They put $43 billion into the acquisition of Seagen, and they put $2.26 billion to acquire Trillium Therapeutics. Trillium was focused on blood cancers that have a CD147 marker on them. Okay, that is one of the markers that is known to be involved in COVID. So they have a very interesting window on those malignancies, and they're buying up the cancer companies that are probably going to play the biggest role in benefiting from the mess that they've created. So in summary, the Pfizer vaccines on the market are not the same formulation as what was tested in the clinical trials. This is a big bait and switch, and it's a fraud. So you can't believe anything they're saying about the vaccine efficiency, which we have seen even those numbers decay over time. This is probably why. They're not really what they trialed. They gave you something different. There is significant DNA contamination. It's found, like, 10 out of 11 studies have found this. And the ones that haven't found it have some financial conflicts. So I think the consensus is out. 10 out of 10 of the real studies are finding this. Several are through peer review, which have not been easy to get through peer review. The peer review journals do not like these papers. They get beat around in peer review for months to years, but they're making their way out now. There is also significant DNA contamination now found in 5 peer-reviewed studies that were not looking at this. They were looking at people's blood and tissue, and it was accidentally in there. Other people had to go sleuth it out. We've got cancer on the rise, and there's several papers that report cancer post-vaccination, like right at the site of injection, they'll see neoplasms, all right? There's something going on here. This can't be ignored, saying it's a coincidence anymore. These are liability-free, and they're often mandated, okay? This may be the largest carcinogenic hit ever to the human population. And we have these on childhood schedules. We are giving these to pregnant women. This has gone absolutely off the rails.
Now, just watching that 3-minute clip, Tom Renz, it kind of explains almost the whole reasoning for why the way they did their studies, they're buying the cancer companies, how they don't care that, you know, DNA contamination's happening, we're not looking for that, you know, so they can't find anything they're not looking for. So people can go, well, there's no studies proving they cause cancer. Oh, well, you know, we're not looking at that. So it's easy to say that after a while. And I have an interesting story about a person who went through a Pfizer trial. But what's your reaction to that video and just where we're at now? I mean, we're starting to see some information come out, but what are some definites that we know that these guys are doing aside from the giant money grab?
Well, I mean, listen, my reaction to the video is somewhere between wanting to cry for all the babies that are going to be dead and dying in the coming years and anger because, yeah, I know. We told you this several years ago, mm-hmm. right? Great. Yeah. Congratulations, scientists. You're finally catching up with the evidence. I mean, we have a 2006 FDA document that says gene therapies are likely to cause cancers. They've known since 2006. They define gene therapies in a way that would include these vaccines. And they say that it's likely to cause delayed adverse reactions such as cancer and autoimmune issues. So 2006, right? Now, when I presented this originally a couple of years ago and broke it with Alex and other people like that, Renz, it's nonsense. And before I broke it with the 2006 document, I broke it with when Teresa Long and the brave soldiers that came up with the DMED data, I presented that at Ron Johnson's hearing, right? So they come up with this data that shows cancer exploding, right? Mm-hmm. So we knew going back to the DMED data. And before that, Dr. Ryan Cole, let's give credit where it's due. He was the first guy out there to say, yep, these are going to cause cancer. So we'll go back 4 or 5 years. We've known since 2021-ish that there was a likelihood of these causing cancers. Now, one of the things that he didn't talk about in his thing was the European study where they found not only the SV40, but the SV40 enhancers in there. Huh. Now, this is a critical, critical study, and let me tell you why. SV40, you could argue that when they changed the formulation, there was some contamination. But the enhancers can't be there by accident. They had to be put there. It's intentional. And they increase the likelihood of cancer. Pfizer, Moderna, all these guys, it's not 100% yet, but it looks very much like these guys intended to cause as much cancer as possible throughout the whole world, which is even more likely when you consider that Biden throws about $1 billion or some obscene amount of money at cancer research.
Yeah, we're going to cure cancer. We're going to cure cancer. Yes. That's what he kept saying.
Yeah, he throws all this money at it. And it wasn't that he was going to cure it. They just knew that they wanted to have the next generation of drugs that you had to have or you die.
Right.
Now think about this one last point. There's about 10,000 studies going on related to cancer globally. Of the 10,000 plus studies going on, less than 200 of them are looking for cures, and only about 20 of that 200 are looking at any sort of alternative treatments. The rest of it's mRNA, chemo, other poisons that make you worse. I mean, this is insane. This was manipulated. It was intentional. They gave the world cancer, and now they're going to try and profit off of it.
And it's sort of like what they did with the polio shot. Like, they were testing these polio shots. We've seen some of the videos of the doctors even admitting, Dr. Hilleman, Maurice Hilleman, was admitting that, oh, we're finding the monkey virus in these things. And they were laughing about it, like, huh, we're testing this on the Russians. We're going to give them all tumors. That's how we're going to win the Olympics. I mean, that was the big joke back then. And these guys are joking about it. And the guy interviewing him is joking about it, too. He's from a local PBS station in Boston. Well, and you just look at that and you're like, wow, that's how they think of us. And you think it's changed any since then? No, it hasn't. It's just gotten worse and gotten more sophisticated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, let me surprise everybody that's watching, because people don't know this. And I'll be interested to know if you're aware of this. Everybody talks about informed consent. Did you know that there is not a single informed consent law in the books in the United States? That now, if it's for human experimentation, you have to provide informed consent. But all other informed consent law comes from common law. There's no law requiring or defining what informed consent is in this country. So when they put these poisons out, there's so much mushy garbage about what informed consent means. Oh, redness and swelling at the injection site. What? That's garbage.
Yeah.
They knew that they October of 2020, the VRBPAC presentation, they knew, they listed, they expect all the things that are happening. They had the whole list. They said they were going to monitor for it, which means that they were looking for those. They knew what was going to happen. This was intentional. This was the ultimate big pharma power play to depopulate the world and to make sure that you have a universe of people who are lifelong pharma customers.
Mm-hmm. Depopulate and debilitate. That's what the name of the game was. I'm going to tell you this story. I was at a Home Depot parking lot, and I was loading plywood into my truck, and this guy stopped to help me. And so we're talking, and, you know, I was just getting over my COVID. I still had pneumonia. But I was, you know, still running around doing things. And I told the guy, oh, he goes, oh, you should have got the vaccine. I said, are you kidding me? That's poison. That's killing people. And he goes, well, I was actually in the vaccine trials. I'm like, really? Oh, this is interesting. So tell me more. And he goes on to tell me that he was in the vaccine trial. He found out that he got the placebo. And then they said, hey, if you got the placebo after the trials were done later, they said, if you got the placebo, you can come in and still get the shot if you want to. Now, do you think that's going to ruin your test results looking 1, 2, 3 years down the road? So this is 2021. He did it in 2020. So yeah. 6 months later, they're giving him a vaccine of probably the different version, the one, you know, polluted with SV40. And he doesn't know this. And he thinks he's doing the right thing. He's getting, oh, I've already got two shots. I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm talking to you right now. But he gave me his card. I need to follow up with him. I actually gave his information to some documentary filmmakers who were tracking people down who had taken the vaccine to see. So I don't even know if this guy's still alive or not, but, he lives up in my area up, outside of Austin. And it's just amazing that this guy had bought it all hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we hope he's alive, you know, just like here's the thing. We're at a point now where, I mean, I've been telling you so since 2020, mm-hmm. right? But I mean, it's not, there's no joy in it. There's no great, I'm right, because me being right just means people are dying.
More
right
people
and left.
Died. Yeah.
It's horrible. It's the one thing, if there was ever something I wish I was wrong about, it's this whole thing. It's a debacle. And you think about the babies. You think how many babies, and I'll tell you what, think about what's going to happen when the moms and dads who really, really love their babies but fell for this lie, realize that they gave their kids cancer. They gave their kids heart issues. They gave this to their children. I mean, I'm a dad, right? And I did everything that I've done for the last 5 years is to try and ensure that my kids have a future. That's all that matters to me. And I try to put myself in the shoes of someone who gave their kids one of these clot shots, whose kids now can't play soccer or football because they've got myocardial permanent heart issues, or they're debilitated in some way. And, you know, who's 10 years old and, you know, going to have, has cancer. I can't fathom the human pain and suffering caused by these people. And when I think about that, I really want to stress this. People say, well, what is evil? What's good? What's evil? Well, let me tell you what evil is. Evil is a company that would give a jab to a child that has absolutely no beneficial effect, but is likely to give them cancer, heart issues, and all sorts of other issues and kill them for profit. That's evil. And that's what we're fighting.
Yeah, I totally agree. I've got a video. I'll probably play it after this break, but it's Michelle Walensky, who is the CDC director under Biden, and talking about how it's her duty to serve even when the science deniers attack the truth seekers. In fact, maybe we should watch this now, because this to me is the face of evil. It's these people who sit there and say, no, we're doing this for your own good. You don't understand. Yeah. You're too stupid. We know what's best for you. Okay. Yeah. We don't look at any outside information. We don't even look at the information we're giving, and we take these results, these test results, and skew them. Like what you said earlier today, where, oh, you're not fully vaccinated till 2 weeks after your second dose. So if you die 13 days after your second dose, that's a coincidence. We don't know it. You're not fully vaccinated. And that's the way they play these little mind games. And creeps like this, this lady should never be able to get a job anywhere in the world. She's probably got some great consulting job right now, because evil rewards itself. You know, evil loves 100%. To do that. So let's go to this clip, and I'll have you comment on it, because this is who we're facing, the simpering lisp of tyranny right here. Here it is.
And when the lives of a nation hang in a balance and you're called to serve, we serve. We run to help people, to stop the bleeding, to stabilize, and to give people hope and a fighting chance to come back stronger. That's what doctors do. And when those who attack science, we serve. And when those who are attacking the truth seekers, who traffic in truth, are called, we serve.
I mean,
what the hell kind of grammar is that?
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about a DEI hire. So that actually, and I saw that the clip was out there, and I didn't listen to it. That's the first time I've listened to it, because every time I see her, I want to throw up.
Right.
You know, here's the thing that I ask myself. Is she really that stupid? I mean, she sounds like a DEI hire. She can't even speak English, at least not any sort of proper English. But is she that stupid, or is she just evil? And I got to tell you, the one thing that I've gone back and forth on is that question a lot. And it's the most difficult question we have to ask ourselves. Which of these people were truly that stupid, and which are just evil?
Now, well, you want to play that game? We could play that game. I'll throw some names out to you, and you tell me what you think.
Yeah.
All right. Let's start with Redfield. He was CDC director before Walensky? Yep. Yeah. Yep. What do you think he was? Cause I've got a different take. You know, he's kind of come back around, but what do you think? He's stupid or evil, or just going along to get along?
He's a tough one. I think I'm going to lean towards stupid. So there's a huge amount, you know, you think about, and I think about law school, med school is no different. It's a different field, but you go through law school and you spend 3 years, being told that moral relativism is a fact, that the law, the Constitution is a living, breathing, document, and that, you know, basically it's the whim of the judges. Now, my law school, I had some great people and some great mentors in my law school, but, there's a lot of that in every law school, right? So you think about the doctors that are trained not to think, not to do anything anymore, but to basically check boxes and follow orders. And so you can think of a guy like Redfield who for, you know, 50 years of his life has been told, you know, hey, vaccine's good, vaccine's good, vaccine's good. We got a new vaccine to fix this. You know, maybe he believes that for a while. And the only reason I'm giving him any benefit of the doubt is that he's come around pretty hard. That said, if he's that stupid, he still belongs in jail, right? Sure. Because negligent homicide is still homicide. It's a different, you don't go to jail as long as if you intend to kill somebody, but negligent homicide is still homicide. And if you're going to have that kind of position and you're not going to bother to do your homework or to think, well, then guess what? And Walensky's a great example of this. I mean, I think she's too stupid. I don't know. I'm like, I can seriously say that I am concerned about whether she's going to die because she forgets to breathe. I think she's that stupid. But Redfield, it may be marginally less stupid, but either he's the stupidest man, one of the stupidest men to ever hold that position, or he's just plain evil and you know, ingenious about lying. But at minimum, negligent homicide, at maximum, intentional.
And with him, you know, he's walking some stuff back, but he's not naming names. He's like, I was put on pressure to do this. I was like, he's just saying what he's saying and not implicating anybody. So to me, you know, you gotta do a little more before you get back in our good graces. I'll say Rochelle Walensky's evil, because she was just so into, mandates and you know, everybody has to be vaccinated or nobody's safe, but putting out those talking points. Let's go with Francis Collins. He was the director of the NIH, head of the NIH.
I think he was evil.
Yeah.
Just straight up evil. I mean, listen, you look at the way that the NIH manages the studies and the way that they're putting things out. You know, Fauci worked directly for him.
Yeah.
It's a stretch for me to think that Redfield didn't know. I just can't imagine that Collins did. If he's that negligent, then I don't even know what to say about it. This guy just, there's nothing about it that strikes me as authentic. It's just, I'm leaning evil on that one.
And you can look at his face right there. I get the camera right in his face when,
I forgot about this.
When Alex is talking, looking right at him, and he's like, oh, I've been caught. I've been caught. Oh, geez, I got to get out of here. You know, that's funny. I walked past that guy in the bathroom. I was walking into the bathroom and he was walking out. I had to wash the barbecue sauce off my hands because we were chowing down. And, I walked back. I go, Jones, I think I just saw Francis Collins. He's like, whoa.
That's awesome.
And he's eating. And I'm like, no way. You didn't see. I said, I think I did, but this guy was tall. I'm like, let me see what his height is. I'm like, oh, he's 6'4". I go, that was definitely Francis Collins. And so we take off awesome. Down the airport. I think we're going to the Tucker Carlson event. And we finally find him at the end of the airport. If you're into the Austin airport, it's got two ends. And I saw what direction he was going originally. And I said, he's going down this way. And we caught him at the last terminal, at the last gate trying to get on. And there he is. And oh, he thinks Alex is a fan in the beginning. And he's like, oh, happy to meet you. And then, oh yeah, you killed more people than Hitler. And he's like, oh wow, I've got one that can see. And you know, he had a handler with him, was like, Francis, get on here. You know, they found you. We can't let it happen. And then the gate agent's like, Hi, Alex. Like,
that's so awesome.
You know, and that was a quick one, but you get up close to these people and you get to see what they're really made of. That guy is a coward for one. And so as a coward wants to do what a coward does is, you know, he stands behind these big guards and puts these orders out, but doesn't want to get his hands dirty. So he was able to just, you know, run around and do all these things and put these mandates together and, you know, whatnot. With him and Fauci, you know, it's just, these are, you know, Fauci, Bill Gates, I think we could say they're evil.
I don't think there's any question on those two.
These people are definitely evil. You know, who else was involved? It was the Chinese lady who's always on CNN. Lena Wynn.
She's a sellout. I think she's absolutely evil.
Yeah.
I mean, she's, you know, listen, at some point, so, you know, you look at some of the political appointees, they're got political pressure, but it's a different thing when you're just a media talking head that, I don't know. I guess maybe I shouldn't give anybody the benefit of the doubt on this. At the end of the day, think about the people that we've lost. I mean, I'm sure in your life you've lost people from this. I know I have.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, how do you feel about the people who are responsible for their death? And I got to tell you, it isn't all that loving or all that warm. I don't want revenge, but I do want justice. I demand justice.
Justice be served with the heavens fall. We'll be right back. Second half of our interview with Tom Wrenn. Stay tuned.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. They're
Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue, and then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshow.com, but we'll certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimate Methylene Blue, thealexjonesshow.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Good shot of the control room in there. Everybody humming along. Printing documents that I asked for during the break. And I want to get our guest is Tom Renz. I had all his websites here. We'll put them up there in a second. Where is it? See, that's my problem. I'm not used to doing all this. There it is. TomRenz.com, TomRenz.substack.com, and Renz-law.com. And just a crusader from the beginning, going up to Congress, sitting in all these meetings that Ron Johnson, who really is probably the unsung hero of the COVID pandemic on the Senate side, just really doing his best to get the information out, holding, you guys weren't even in like the main Senate areas. It would seem to be like it's always some side office somewhere because you know, they probably weren't, he had to do this on his own. It wasn't through the Senate apparatus, but he was still, you know, intent on getting the truth out. And so we thank you for all the work you've done in the past. And I want to get to some good news for some things happening, but right before we do that, I want to tell everybody about the Total War fundraiser sale. What is Total War? Total War is when you put all your resources into war. You could see, you know, Trump is sort of declaring, it seems like, a total war on the drug kingpins down in Venezuela. He's talking about going in and doing total war against the drug cartels in Mexico. So we're launching our own Total War fundraiser sale. And for right now, we're offering these Alex Jones war bonds. So for $100, you pay for it, then you get the war bond in the mail, and it's got a promo code for $110 in store credit. So essentially, we're paying you $10 to get one of these pieces of artwork, and then you have $110 you could spend in the store. And we have a bunch of great sales. Like right now, 25% off all apparel. We're also offering buy one, get one free of Atomic Defense Shilajit gummies and Shilajit capsules. Either one. Do you like the gummies? Do you like the capsules? Buy one, get one half off right now. And if you check out some of the apparel, we got the Blacked Out InfoWars shirts, the Gulf of America shirt, Alligator Alcatraz shirt, the tinfoil hat, and Obedience to God Circle Star hat. These are all some of the, I guess, examples of apparel you can get 25% off right now, plus 40% off all knives and silver coins. We got some limited edition silver coins that are fundraiser-type coins. So they're not at spot. They're a little bit over, but it's original artwork that you're not going to get anywhere else. So you can get it here at thealexjonesstore.com, and 40% off all of our amazing knives. Really good looking knives. In fact, there's a couple in here I use just to cut open boxes with, you know, very, very quickly. And, they're very sharp, badass knives in lots of different styles. We got daggers. We got kind of pocket knives, trench knives. It's all there. Check it out. TheAlexJonesStore.com. 40% on all knives and silver coins. Plus, get your Alex Jones war bonds for $100. You get $110 in store credit, plus a cool piece of artwork that you can hang on your wall and let people know that you are part of the info war. Check it out at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, back to my guest, Tom Renz. There's a lot of victories I think we've had in the last few weeks. I think we're starting to see some of our hard work come to fruition. First thing I want to ask you about is the Grace Act. And this basically restores religious exemptions to all student vaccination requirements in all 50 states. In Texas, you have the conscientious objector or religious exemption. You could go either way. And you have to, people probably don't know this, but you go to the health department and you request an affidavit, which says, I don't want my student, they don't need any of these vaccines, and here's my signature, and you got to get it notarized. And they're only good for a year. So you got to get, you know, a few at a time. So they make you jump through some hoops to do it. But some states like West Virginia, you have no exemptions. You go to a school in West Virginia, you're getting all the shots no matter what. So what do you think of this Grace Act? Do you think it's going to work? Do you think it's going to pass? What's your opinion on it right now?
Well, whether it passes, I don't know. I love that it's out there. And I love, was it Congressman Stubbe that did it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so kudos to him for doing it. You know, listen, it's probably got a shot. It's pretty limited. I mean, obviously the jab poison makers will oppose it. And so it's hard to get anything through. And he couldn't have done more, I don't think, to have any chance of passing it, but it's very limited, right? So it's very limited to religious exemptions. Now understand, under the law, we've got the First Amendment. And then we also have something called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. So it's one of the very few constitutional rights to be bolstered in terms of how it's to be interpreted by the courts with specific legislation. And that legislation says that strict scrutiny has to be applied to any impediment to your faith. Now, I got to be honest with you. I don't see a way on this planet that they can justify removing religious exemptions, but they have. I mean, there's a lot of stupid interpretations from the courts and stupid things that have happened. So that makes this necessary. It shouldn't be necessary, but it is. The problem, and I love it. It's a win that it's out there, and I'm praying that it gets passed, and I support it 100%. I would love it to be more robust. The question is, why do we have to have vaccine mandates at all? Think about this, and let me ask this question. If a vaccine keeps me safe from an illness, why do I care if you've got it, right? There's literally no justification to mandate a vaccine ever, because if it keeps you safe, then why do you care if I've got it? I don't need to get it. You get it. Go get 10 of them. You want to get 14 boosters and give yourself cancer and keel over? By all means, go ahead. You've got the right to be an idiot. I don't need to get a jab of any type to protect you. It's not, it makes no sense. The only reason that that could ever make sense is if they don't work, which we all know they don't. So at the end of the day, I love that this is here. I'm hoping it passes. I support it 100%. I wish it was more robust. But the most important question we have to ask ourselves is, why is it necessary? And one thing that I really do wish, across the board, Maha and our supporters were so happy for breadcrumbs that we never actually are shooting for the goal. Listen, how about this? How about we make all the vaccines illegal until such time as they are given placebo-controlled trials?
Right.
Gold standard. Yeah. How about we just ban them all? No one will even say that. In fact, I am certain that for saying that, someone will say I'm a radical extremist. I'm a nutbag anti-vaxxer. Yeah, I am now a radical anti-vaxxer. Do you know why? Because I've done my homework. I found out that there are no vaccines that have ever had a truly proper gold standard clinical controlled trial versus placebo. Not one of the vaccines on the schedule, not one of them, has properly been tested. So, yeah. I'm an anti-vaxxer now. And in 2019, I was a pro-vaxxer. The change was because I found the fraud that they committed with COVID. And because I found that fraud, I did my homework and found out, guess what? The whole vaccine industry's fraud. Everything from Big Pharma's fraud. I fought cancer in my family. Guess what? I found out all the cancer stuff is fraud. I can't find anything pharma's doing that isn't fraud. I can't find anything.
Yeah, exactly. And you look at, and I agree with you there too, but I've been an anti-vaxxer for a long time, since before I even had kids, and I had to go in. My wife was like kind of, well, they tell us these are safe and effective. You know, she listens. No one is safe till everyone is safe. She was listening to that at the time, and I had to go in and argue with the doctor, and I brought in a bunch of articles and studies and vaccine inserts and things that I had collected throughout the years, and I was able to talk my doctor. Well, you looks like you've done all your research is at the end of the meeting, but I literally, I commend the doctor for at least coming in there and, you know, humoring me. I know she was always going to be pro-vax and she was always going to recommend them, but I kept showing her study after study. And I think at some point she's like, well, I'm not even going to bother with these people anymore. They're not going to get their vaccines like a good little, like a good little citizen. But
I regret that I didn't know.
Yeah, you know, and the only reason I knew is because I was listening to InfoWars and some of the guests Alex had on at the time, you know, back in the early, the late, 90s and the early 2000s. I mean, I was consuming this stuff and I was just like, wow, we're not getting the full truth out there. And then I remember when I was, I think before I went to, I worked on a ski resort in Switzerland back, you know, during college, I took a semester off and they, you know, they recommended you go get a hepatitis A vaccine. My mom's like, well, you need to go get it. You need to go get it. And I remember I went and got it. And that night I had a terrible headache and I slept like crap. And I remember, and I didn't really think of it that was a vaccine. I thought I was getting sick, but it was right before the trip about a week. And I was supposed to go somewhere with some friends and I couldn't go out. I didn't feel good. So I'm like, man. And then years later, I'm thinking about that and I'm like, I wonder if that was a stupid vaccine that I took, this hepatitis A vaccine. And it's probably got all kinds of crap in it that I don't want in my body when you actually look at what's in it. But we have DeSantis here to end all vaccine mandates in Florida. This is a big win. Then this is what you want to see nationwide right here.
Yeah, huge. There should be no mandates. And, you know, I'm gonna, like I said, I'm going to go all in. I'm just going to say that, honestly, the FDA's job is to ensure the safety and efficacy of the things that are on the market, right? So let me put this out to you. Let me be radical here and just give Peter Hotez a stroke.
Yeah.
Think about this. We have, you know, all sorts of government regulatory bodies that protect us, right? You have to have labels and warning labels. I mean, you got to put a warning label on a pillow, I think, at this point. I mean, you know, your plastic bags, hey, don't put this over your head. There has to be a warning label.
Well, there's cancer warnings on almost everything because of California. California makes a law that says almost everything causes cancer, so you have to put that on almost everything out there.
Yeah, we've idiot-proofed our world, right? And for good reason. Now think about this. You gotta put a warning sign on a plastic bag that says, don't put this over your head. But the FDA is approving drugs with no trials, no safety trials, no efficacy trials. All the trials were against previous versions. There were literally issues with every single, I went through every trial I could find on vaccines and could not find one that didn't have an issue. And you go through this and you say, well, wait a second. If the law is that they're supposed to ensure that these things are safe and effective, well, the law hasn't been met once. Not once. So I would argue that there is not a single vaccine on the market that has been properly vetted that should remain on the market. I think they should not only be not mandated, I think they should be pulled from the market until such time as there are true safety and efficacy tests. I think there should be safety and efficacy tests regarding mixing vaccines. You know, what if you take more than one at one at a time? What happens then? What happens, you know, with the, if you got, you know, active ingredients and stuff? Of course that can have an impact on your body. What testing has there been done? Let's look at shedding studies. Look at studies for, you know, I mean, we have not even come close to doing our job on this. The FDA and HHS across the board has historically been one of the most corrupt regulatory bodies in the entire U.S. government. And, you know, I think we not only need to remove mandates of all types, I think that we seriously need to look. I mean, again, Maha looks for crumbs. I'm asking for the whole enchilada.
You want the steak.
Let's pull these until there's a study.
Yeah.
I want the whole thing. Yep.
Yep. I even got Grok to admit the revolving door. Somebody was arguing with me on X about, you know, there's no collusion with the CDC and FDA. I said, Grok, tell me who used to work at the CDC and then went to work for Big Pharma or Big Pharma to the CDC or FDA. A list of like 12 people right there. And that's just in the last 20 years. So, yeah, it starts off, then that's what happens. These people go in, they learn the system, of government, and then they come out as a valuable commodity to these big drug companies. They know the ins and outs of how to get something approved. They know all the back doors. They know all the things to say to get things approved or the things not to say to get approved. So to them, it's great. It's a windfall with what they get from working in the government, you know, work like a pauper for a few years. Then you get a job that, you know, you're making eight figures and, you know, who cares if you kill some kids? Cause they're not your kids. Cause you're not getting your kids vaccinated. We have another victory. Former CDC respiratory disease director, Dimitri Daskalakis, who dresses up like he's a member of the Satanic Village people. Some of these pictures of this guy are insane. And, you know, he doesn't want to be associated with the CDC because he doesn't like the direction it's going in. There's no, what do they say? He said there was no communication. Things were just getting thrown down. Basically didn't like what RFK Jr. was doing. So he's going to leave. Although it seems to be having trouble getting the CDC director to leave, even though she's been fired. But we're seeing people jump ship, but I don't think they're jumping ship because of RFK. I mean, I think there's something coming down the pipe. What do you think is coming down the pipe that is about to be disclosed?
Well, I mean, listen, Bobby said he was coming out with autism studies. He said he's coming out with all this different data. You know, it looks like we saw some preliminary releases of some different things that are coming out, and we're hearing a lot of rumors. We're seeing more and more people being fired. Yeah, listen, we're going to have this bomb drop. My prediction, and we also know, and listen, I'm not excited about this, but they're working on a new universal vaccine platform. Now, this is something that is not a win, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about this. And our side, I don't like this. So Trump's order, his executive order on gain of function, did not stop gain of function. It regulated it and brought it onshore. What that means is that we are now doing gain of function in this country. Now, If you know what what HHS is doing, what they've told Trump they want to do, one of the things that they've convinced Trump is that with AI in the next few years, they'll be able to take your genetic data, they'll be able to feed it to AI, and essentially based on that genetic data, they'll be able to create a digital doppelganger of you that they can then use and test these various vaccines and therapies and to see how they work based on your genetic makeup. Now, that may sound like science fiction to everybody, but I was just in D.C. They're in the process of building this. It's going to happen. So, and we're a year or two out from this. We're not a long ways away. So my question would be, why wouldn't we ban gain of function entirely if we can run this as a simulation? Let's ban that entirely. Don't bring it on shore. Don't regulate it. Shut it down. I don't need anybody making a new disease or making a new poison. If our AI is sufficiently advanced to essentially test a drug on an entire human doppelganger, then you got to understand we don't need any of this nonsensical gain of function work. Now, I will tell you that in fairness, I don't trust the AI as far as I can throw it. The AI is going to be the next and the biggest. I'm doing a lot of work in AI and it is corrupt. It is evil. It is dangerous. We really need to talk about AI a lot more, but the problem is in this case, we're talking out both sides of our mouth. We have a push to have AI based medicine that's sufficiently advanced to be able to, create a digital doppelganger of an entire human and then test it on it. But apparently it's not sufficiently advanced to model something as basic as a virus or a bacteria.
Yeah, exactly. But we're going to trust it because everybody says, oh, AI is great, except yeah. AI makes all these mistakes constantly.
Blackmails.
It was funny because we have, the Owen Schroyer controversy going on. But Grok was commenting on the Friday show that I hosted, was talking about how Owen was hosting it and how people thought it was weird. He was acting weird, but he didn't even host it. But Grok doesn't know that. So Grok, it's just like, well, I thought this AI is supposed to be all knowing. The AI could have gone and looked at the video and watched the video and known it wasn't, Owen Schroyer. But
yeah.
And I agree with you. Why bring this stuff? It got banned under Obama. They were doing it in Chapel Hill, at least with the coronavirus. Ralph Baric was doing gain of function, and they moved it offshore, which was a way almost to con. And I could see maybe Trump's thinking of, well, we don't want China doing it and then releasing stuff on the world, because that's probably what he was told, that China was doing it, even though it was our stuff. We were funding it. We were running it through the EcoHealth Alliance. We were given – that's how they were getting the money. And so – but you had all these different ways that it was the shell game. It was, well, we're not directly funding it. We're giving money to the EcoHealth Alliance, who's then giving the money to them. So, it's not us. It couldn't be us. It's like USAID, just another form of it.
Well, USAID was part of it. I mean, if you look at, cause I broke all the data on that, right? So we broke that. We actually sent the reports to Congress in 2022 before the midterms. And, I wasn't supposed to know this, but we had some leakers, some congressional staff members who called me and told me that the Republicans had a meeting and decided to bury the COVID origins in 2022 because they thought it was too hot for the midterms.
Wow.
So, it was well known. It's well documented. I mean, it's very clear we sent the stuff. And so we broke all that stuff back then, and probably, I think pretty sure we broke a lot of it here on InfoWars, but, it was all well known what was happening. And it wasn't just EcoHealth Alliance, and USAID wasn't separate. USAID was largely controlled by CIA. We saw CIA's handiwork in this all across the board. This was an intelligence operation. We knew what we were doing. We sent them the data. It was funded through the military industrial complex. It was funded through USAID. It was funded through, EcoHealth Alliance was involved. There was a ton of stuff involved. And in fact, Hunter Biden, through Rosemont Seneca, was invested in one of the companies that was involved in the project that apparently created COVID. So there's a legitimate question to be asked, and I don't know why the Republicans won't investigate this, as to whether or not Hunter Biden made any money off the creation of COVID, because it was absolutely created. We have all the data. We know now what happened. They just won't investigate it properly. And, but they won't do it in part because our data indicates that the COVID vaccines were actually created at the same time they were creating the COVID bioweapon, which is standard protocol. Mm-hmm. I put my name on a declaration under penalty of perjury and then testified under Marjorie Taylor Greene's hearing that, I have medical records of a soldier who received on five different occasions received the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine in 2015. I've got the medical records. So how did he find what there were five errors that said Moderna COVID-19 vaccine in 2015 when it didn't exist? Of course, they weren't errors.
Moderna had filed for a patent then, or was that, did they file for it in 2016 or 2015? Or was it earlier?
I would have to look. I mean, there was a bunch of patents related to it, but yeah. You're talking about the genetic sequence. I'd have to double check to see what year that was. But I mean, they did a study on what you're talking about there, that genetic sequence. You know, it was one in a trillion or something that was identical.
Well, yeah, that whole thing they were working on, I think they were going to get Hillary Clinton in, then have a new pandemic, this pandemic, which is going to be COVID-19. So they're testing it out.
Yep.
And then boom, we're going to run this and we're going to lock down the whole country. And instead they got Trump, who kind of like, he kind of went with half their plan, didn't go with the whole plan, and it was bumpy, but a lot of Americans were able to figure out stuff, going along, how it progressed. But now we have his tweet on September 1st. We got a couple minutes left. I want you to comment on this, his tweet where he's finally, there's some cracks in the dam with his warp speed, talking about it being brilliant. But I hope Operation Warp Speed was brilliant, as many said as was. If not, we all want to know about it and why. Thank you for your attention to this matter. So, I mean, do you see this as a positive development and kind of Trump's, Fourth Reich advance of warp speed being the greatest thing ever?
Yeah, I think it's one of the most profound advancements ever, and I think we can thank Bobby for that. Yeah. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, yeah, I've looked at this. There is one credible mechanism to challenge the COVID vaccines in court right now, and my cost to file the case would be $6 million. That's if I've charged zero for it. It'd be my cost. So there's really no way to do anything with this in court. Unless Trump lets them do what they're doing, which it appears he is. Now, if Bobby keeps putting out information, if we keep seeing this new stuff, the cost to litigate this goes way down because it opens up new ways to litigate it, new causes of action, new different things. So what people say, well, file a suit. There is no suit to file. There is no good suit. I can file crap suits. I mean, there's a lot of crap suits that keep getting thrown out. But as Bobby's coming in, we're seeing more suits that can work and that will work because by what he's putting out there. So I think this is huge. If Trump is willing to open the door and let Bobby do what he does, it'll be game changing. And, if we can really get to the accountability side of this, that's it. Then at that point, we've got a future.
Or it's going to happen again. I mean, that's at the end of the day, if we don't stop them here, then 5 years from now, we'll be looking at the same thing, the same playbook. TomRentz.com, TomRentz.substack.com, and Rentz-Law.com. You can find out everything you want to know about Tom Rentz and all of his great work. Thank you for coming on, and it was a great interview. Appreciate it.
Thanks, brother.
All right. We'll be right back with Joe Biggs.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy and he got me on methylene blue and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule, it should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got four, five, one, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm going to eat at 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Cranking up the decibels of truth, Rob Dew is on the air. This is War Room.
That's right. And if you want to interact me with me on X, you can follow me at Dews News, D-E-W-S-N-E-W-Z. And if you say something stupid, I'll call you a retard to your face. Don't worry. I'll do it. I have a feeling we're going to be calling people retards here in the near future because I got my guest here, my good friend Joe Biggs, who was a political prisoner, member of the Proud Boys, former member of InfoWars, a reporter here. I've gone on many adventures with him. God, I remember going to El Paso with you, and we were just watching the Border Patrol leave gates open and not watching, you know, different border crossings, and people were just, you know, kind of coming here and there, and it was crazy. And interviewing Border Patrol vice presidents.
Yeah, dressed up like an ISIS jihadi.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then didn't you dress up? You were dressed up as an ISIS jihadi and ran across the river holding a severed head.
Which, yeah, with one of those like Arabic looking swords.
Yeah. You know,
I was like, I'm going to get shot. But luckily, they're like too busy playing Angry Birds and exactly. Not really watching them.
Yeah. They're in their air conditioning cars, you know, because anytime that's the one thing you hear them cars always running, you know, they're running hot air conditioning. And to stay cool, because it is hot at the border. Let me tell you, it's very, very hot, dusty place. So, Biggs, how you doing? How's freedom treating you? Do you feel like you've reinvigorated yourself back into society? Are you finding your place? What is going on with you right now?
Yeah, I'm doing much better. I've been spending a lot of time putting the studio together. You know, it takes time working through a lot of the stuff that you go through, especially when they put you in solitary confinement. It kind of, you know, it deteriorates your mind, and you've got to learn to kind of find yourself again and build yourself back up. So, you know, I'm back in the gym. I'm healthy. I'm working out almost twice a day. I mean, I was up at 6 a.m. this morning kicking my own ass. So, you know, I'm getting out there and I'm trying to get my mind right. You know, my outlook on life has gotten a lot better, you know, but it just takes time, and I've been patient. I haven't been trying to rush stuff too much. And I appreciate everyone's love and support through that process, but I'm ready to get back to work, and I'm ready to do the stuff that I love to do. And, I'm excited to see what the future holds. I'm ready to kick this off. You know, we've been taking the fight to the government, me and my Proud Boy brothers. You know, we sued the DOJ for tons of wrongdoing that they've done, and the DOJ has the audacity to, you know, file a dismissal. So we are in response to that right now, and we're trying to battle that out. We're hoping that a judge will, you know, let this continue so we can get into the discovery phase. Once that happens, I think we're going to be doing pretty good. But there was a lot of wrongdoing. I mean, that trial was a mess. And I mean, you know, when you watch TV and you look at the court system through the eyes of, you know, television, things like that, you've never been through the ringer like that. You've never seen an indictment with the United States versus your name. That's when things get real. And when you sit in that courtroom, you think that you're in a place that's looking for the truth, that the Department of Justice and these judges are here during this trial to find out the truth of what happened that day. But that is not the case. That is a place where there's no cameras allowed, because they're there to frame you for a narrative that they've created. They've spun up out of thin air. I don't know how many people I met in prison that should not have been in prison, that have been there for 30 plus years for crimes they didn't commit. And it was in the paperwork. I could see it. The judges were lazy or corrupt, didn't like the fact that, you know, this person just, they just didn't like him. So they let him go to jail forever. So there's a lot of things that need to be discussed, with the DOJ and with how they deal with things, because that courtroom, it's frightening when you sit there and you're there for 6 months. It was the longest trial in DC history. It was the longest jury selection in DC history. And we had the most discovery ever in a trial.
And so trying to get an unbiased jury in DC has got to be, you know, that's going to be hard with all the propaganda going on, because they were using that insurrection word from the day. We're coming right back. We're going to keep you until the end of the show, except I got I'll tell people on the other side of the break, but we got more with Joe Biggs coming up.
Got 25% off store-wide for all apparel, but we've decided this week to sweeten the deal by giving you buy one, get one 50% off for either the Shilajit Complex capsules or the Shilajit gummy. These gummies are delicious. They boost your testosterone, your vitality, and so much more. I take them every single day, and I've noticed a marked difference in my life. It doesn't stop there. We've got buy one, get one 50% off for Atomic Defense as well. This is designed using ingredients that have been used for thousands of years to boost immune support. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. It doesn't stop there. We are officially launching the Alex Jones War Bonds. You'll see here that there's a code right there. You can pause it. The first person to use this code does get $110 on the store. The way it works is you pay $100, you get this mailed to you. It comes with a custom code that will allow you to get $110 in store credit to the store. So pause it. First person to use this code gets $110, and make sure you show your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Back in action, it's Rob Dew in the War Room. Truth is our weapon, and we're fully loaded.
All right, bringing us in with some old school Metallica. Back when they were still cool. You're watching the War Room. I'm your host, Rob Dew. We got Joe Biggs. Was laying out kind of a broad spectrum of what we're going to cover. At the end of the hour, though, I'm going to break off about 13, 14 minutes before the end of the hour, and we're going to play this Professor Francis Boyle kind of compilation, because a retired farmer executive just came out and said he was about to testify against Bill Gates and Albert Bourla in a Dutch court on the COVID shots, and then he dies. And, you know, he had been teaching, he was in great health, and boom, out of the blue. And we had him on a lot. This guy was telling us everything about COVID back in 2020 of early February. So we're going to get into that at the end of the hour. We'll just let that run out for the show, and then we'll be back tomorrow. But right now we got Joe Biggs. Joe, I want to start with this because I think this is the biggest thing. You sent us a tweet that's dated today, September 3rd, from William Taylor, retired FBI. FBI J6 constitutional abuses. The FBI obtained financial records for people who donated to the J6 legal defense funds. They obtained it through the people who donated to help the families of those arrested. They subpoenaed donor name, credit card used, IP address, email, and more. They didn't stop there. They obtained all payments that the donor made to anyone or any company using that payment processor. And they used this information to identify the donor's bank accounts and allow the FBI to subpoena additional records. So just wanton abuse, whatever the FBI wanted to do. Oh, because these people were giving money to people who they thought were wrong. So now you can't even help people out who have been wronged. You're going to get an investigation from the FBI. So is this something you guys have been finding or that you want to find out more about in discovery, or what is the,
Yeah, we're going to dig into a lot of this stuff, but I mean, it's interesting. Go back and look at, what was it during those BLM riots? Who was bailing people out? Who was helping them out? It was Kamala Harris. It was LeBron James. It was all these people out there. And these were legitimate domestic terrorists who were burning down cities
and assaulting people
and nothing. And they created millions and millions upon millions of dollars of destruction all across the United States. Never once did DC have to board their windows up when the Proud Boys came to town. Never once did Portland have to board things up. No, they always had to do it because of their own internal problem, and that would be Antifa and or BLM. You know, these people were left unchecked for so long, and that's kind of what gave rise to the Proud Boys. And that's what, you know, it's sad that a bunch of, you know, autistic guys that are basically retarded, who can't even get a Taco Bell order right with a large group, you know, are being accused of somehow trying to seditiously conspire to overthrow the U.S. government.
Without any guns. With no guns.
Yeah, with no guns.
Well, magic wands, what are you going to use? I mean, what?
You know, they teach classes about me in colleges now about, you know, soldiers that become radicalized and can become domestic terrorists. You know, it's hilarious because, you know, these guys were given the reign. They were given in control. The DOJ controlled the media and let them spin a narrative so insane and so out of this world that it just brainwashed people. And these, so many people believed it. They believed that we literally sat there and conspired to overthrow the government. The only reason the things happened that day was because, A, there were agitators in the crowd who I believe were part of a DOD group. That helped dismantle the fences and all the breaches. And then the police fired into the crowd that was peaceful sitting mm-hmm. there. I saw police officers mollywopping, knocking out women, and that pissed off the young men in the crowd. And that's when fights ensued. And then that's what they show you. The footage always just happens to start right when there's an instance where it looks like the cops were a victim that day. But they were the ones that were instigating. You know, police officers are supposed to do what? They're supposed to de-escalate that. They're supposed to be trained in de-escalation tactics. There was nothing like that being used that day. They were there for all-out war.
Yeah, we've seen the videos of them talking about, oh, shoot more in. They're shooting pepper spray. They're shooting rubber bullets in, shooting people in the face with rubber bullets, which you're not supposed to do at all. And
yeah, there was a guy who had a hole right through his cheek. He was bleeding out all over the place.
Yep.
They shot flashbangs into an older gentleman's face. I believe he ended up having a heart attack and dying. He's one of the four people that died that day.
They pushed the guy off the stairwell.
Yes. And I actually saw that in person.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw him carrying the guy out. They used a bike rack as a stretcher to carry the guy out.
See, I helped get that bike rack. And you know what the DOJ said in my trial? That I was dismantling the fence so riders could get up there to the wall. No, we were trying to make a stretcher to get the guy that the cops pushed off.
They were already
on the
wall.
That guy was climbing up the wall.
Yeah.
And I saw him push.
Yeah.
The guy, and when the cop looked over and he saw what he did, he goes like this, then looks at his partner, and they both took off and ran left.
Yeah.
Because they knew they did something wrong.
They don't want to, you know, they don't want somebody to see their badge and get them. And they had guys. Go ahead.
We cleared out the way, like me and other Proud Boys and other people out that day. We cleared a path so the EMTs could get there and start working on that guy that had been pushed and fell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they took every single innocent thing that we did. And they try to find a way to demonize it. They try to find out a way that they can spin it and make it look a certain way, like we were doing stuff. They would deceptively edit these videos where the fence first goes down. It each time Ray Epps is there, but they would blur out the video and then show where it goes down in front of me and see, oh, well, there's just happens to be a glitch, but look, it goes down here. I'm like, yeah, let's show the real version in trial.
And here's a picture. It. Here's a picture of the Proud Boys all standing together in a group. And that's here they are planning. And it's like, no, this is what guys do when they get together for any type of event. And this was an event that people were going there to protest what people thought was a theft of the election. And that's going to turn out to be right eventually. We know that's going to happen eventually. We're not going to stop till it happens. But all these different things, it's like, oh no, they were in a group together. Oh, they had a meeting under in a parking garage. Oh, they were roaming the streets. They weren't roaming the streets. They were walking around protecting old ladies, old men, children from getting jumped by Antifa. Because every other event that had, there's two other events that happened before that. Every time Antifa were out there. I know one of your guys who eventually became an informant for the government got stabbed in one of these events. He got stabbed. Now he's coming out saying, hey, I was coerced to say that these guys were planning something. I really didn't, you know, they probably gave him the third degree. And it sucks that you got people in that who you think are, you know, your brothers in arms. And then at some point they have a weakness too. But the government was being predatory and was going after people. Hey, you want 50 years or you want 5 years? What do you want? You know?
Yeah. So what they did is they found anybody with a weakness.
Yeah.
And what they did is when they went to Jeremy Bertino's house, they found out that he was a felon and he was in possession of weapons. So that's a pretty hefty fine because I believe it's a certain amount of years per weapon that's found, and he was looking at about 20 years
right
there off the bat.
Having to deal with J6.
Exactly. Wow. So he already had that on top of what he would have got. So, you know, during the trial, the FBI came out and they lied. They said that, you know, they're supposed to disclose how many times they have meetings with a source like that, a confidential, whatever they want to call it, you know, someone that they flipped. Well, they said in trial that they only met with him 3 times. In actuality, Bertino has come forward with a signed affidavit and been deposed by an actual, you know, someone who does this professionally, a lawyer who does these kind of recants, and on camera has said that he actually met with them 15 times. And they were sitting him down and doing extensive training on how to coach him to speak the right way, to not look like he's, you know, shamed for sitting there lying in front of us. And by the time he got on stage, I mean, it was the most cold thing I've ever seen anyone do. This guy was so good at telling a lie that he looked at us in the eyes and said, I love these guys, and that's why I'm up here. You know, but he loved us, but he's making the story up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and we saw the first 3 videos, the only ones that we thought of in trial. And he's going, no, there's no plan. No, there's no plan. That's ridiculous. We can't even get, you know, a fast food order straight. But then as the meetings progress and the more time they push, you know, on him, hey, you're looking at 20 plus years plus the seditious conspiracy, all this stuff. You ain't getting out for a long time. Well, he decided to change the story. And that's when they started working on him. And, you know, it's a sad thing to see because, you know, now you're looking at conspiracy to perjure or whatever whatever that's called. So, you know, you had the FBI in on that, Nicole Miller, all these other guys. And then even in the trial as well, they leaked accidentally. They said internal emails, the FBI did, and a discovery drop to us. And they were plotting and planning. They were scared when we first announced that we were going to go to trial. They were scared because they said they didn't have anything.
Yeah, we don't have a case. We don't have anything. There is no case. It's guys walking around. You know, the only reason anybody's prepared for any type of physical altercation was for Antifa, who had been there the last 2 times, and they sneak attack people. They come at you, try to hit you in the back of the head with a skateboard. I mean, these people aren't messing around.
We've had a Proud Boy member standing out front of a restaurant, I believe in Portland, smoking a cigarette, and an Antifa member got his car, cranked it up, and drove into him.
Jesus.
Put him in a coma.
Yeah.
We had another one that was shot and killed right there in the street. The guy hid in an alleyway and came out and killed him.
Yeah.
You know, so they're a real threat, but for some reason, the FBI and the DOJ under the Biden administration was far more concerned with us.
Right. Yeah, they were. And why? Because what you guys were doing was protecting the First Amendment. Because, you know, I guess Proud Boys started off as kind of like a drinking club that Gavin McGinnis started. And then at what point did they start going, hey, we're going to run security for these conservative groups who the cops aren't protecting. Cops aren't doing anything. Cops aren't doing their job. They're just standing down and letting these mobs run over these speakers who are just there to talk to college students.
Yeah, we started seeing videos and stuff of these Trump rallies when they were first starting to kick off. I vaguely remember it was one of the videos, this woman was being hit in the face with eggs and things like that.
Yeah.
Then we would see these different groups approach people with Trump hats on, MAGA hats on, at night having dinner with their family and being assaulted and screamed at and cussed. And there's little kids sitting there at the table. And, you know, and a lot of guys at that time were like, look, we're a bunch of grown men. We're sick and tired of what we're seeing. The police aren't doing anything. Nobody's doing anything. Why don't we go out there and stand up and just kind of like create a buffer zone so these individuals can go and see a presidential candidate that they're interested in voting for and let these people go through the process. You know, the left cares so much about democracy, but it's not when it's, you know, to vote for someone that they don't like, you know. So if you're going against their grain, they're all about violence. They love calling for violence. They're all about, you know, screaming and saying that we should all be attacked and, you know, put down on the ground. You know, what's her name? That looks like Alien, Predator, or whatever. Maxine Waters. I mean, she's done that numerous times. All these people.
Confront them in the
streets. You know, so it's insane. There's such a double standard in this country, and we're still seeing it in a lot of aspects of stuff. But, you know, the swamp is deep, and it's going to take some time. You know, we're only, what, 7 months into this administration? 8 months now, or 9 months now, I guess? Wow, damn.
Yeah.
You know, it's still going to take some time, you know, and it's... There's a lot to go.
It definitely is. We do have, I think, you know, one of the biggest things, we got to have some patience. I do want to see indictments coming. That's the big thing that I'm waiting for. And I want to see it for a lot of things. I want to see it for COVID. I want to see it for the election. I want to see it for J6, the J6 bomber. I mean, they can track everybody who donated to, the Proud Boys Defense Fund. They could track all their bank account information. They could get all these people. They could track everybody's cell phone who was in or and around J6. Oh, but we're going to release 2 frames per second horrible video going, we can't identify this bomber. And that was fake. And then it came out like, oh no, it's actually 60 frames a second. It looks great. You can see all how they're moving exactly. And there's a lot of debate on whether it was actually a woman and not even a man, you know, but we still don't know who the bomber is.
I think you're right, though. I think what people are most upset about is not just, let's say, the Epstein files per se, but it's the fact that we know that crimes have been committed. Mm-hmm. You know, look, when January 6th happened on January 20th, the day Biden took office, I was arrested. That was day one. That was within an hour of Biden swearing in, the right. FBI coming to get me. You know, So I keep hearing people going, well, it takes time. And it's like, well, it didn't take good time. I mean, they were able to start doing mass arrests extremely quickly. And I think that's what has a lot of the American people frustrated, that we know crimes have been committed by people high up in this government, and we are not seeing anything. Right. We're only getting excuses. We're, you know, it's getting lost on Pam Bondi's desk, and we're wanting to know when it's going to happen. But everyone keeps saying tick tock, it's coming. Well, I'm tired of hearing tick tock. I want to hear lock. I want to see the fear in some of these people's eyes that they try to put through us. You know, some of these people need to go to prison. They need to understand what that's like. And, it'll change your man. And those kind of people, I guarantee you, are going to tuck and run and be scared. They won't make it through that. But you know, it didn't break us and we came out stronger, but you know, there's arrests out there that need to happen.
Big
COVID,
time.
Epstein, all this stuff, you know, all these different, things that happened under Obama, the Clintons. I don't know why Clinton's getting a free pass, but, you know, this country needs to get back on track and we need to stop having this double standard. You know, it's the left could get away with whatever they want. The right always says they're going to punish people, but they never do. We need to start actually enforcing the law on some of these people.
Yeah, I totally agree. Here's a story out of, it just reminded me of a story that came out on InfoWars earlier today. Trump administration calls congressional support for Representative Massey's petition to release Epstein files a hostile act. So I'm like, come on, guys, get your head out of your asses, read the room. People want to see these people go to prison. You can't protect them. I'm sorry. You're not going to be able to protect these people any longer. I don't care who they are. If they were guilty of screwing young girls, they need to go to prison. If they were guilty of creating some sort of weird, disease factory and funding it and then putting this vaccine on the world, they need to go to prison and lying to the Americans. If they're guilty of screwing with the 2020 election and ordering all these ballots and shipping them all over the place with the mail-in ballots, these people need to go to prison. And that's the only way things are going to change.
I want to see Mayorkas in jail. I want to know why the border was left wide open and why Border Patrol agents were essentially given stand-down orders. I want to know why all these people were allowed to come in and flood our country so the Democrats could get, you know, these fake votes off of people. I want justice for all these people who've been murdered by people who should have never been here, who are on deportation orders to go back to their country because they were violent, murderous sex offenders. So there's a lot of heads that need to roll, and I'm hoping that some point in time the DOJ is going to do their job. But at the end of the day, I don't know. It's like they seem more concerned about people like you and I and the people that watch this show than they are about the real criminals out there that are looking to put you in the ground.
Well, and that tells you we're over the target when we're being looked at. And, you know, we didn't even know this till earlier this year that they had been looking at Alex Jones since 2013, December 2013. They identified him as a white extremist, and they had a rolling investigation that just continued and continued, but it allowed them to open different doors. Once you have these keys, it's like, oh, now you can do this. You can have people, we can send informants in. You know, we had probably informants working here. We don't know how many because we don't have the numbers, but working here at InfoWars or approaching us from the outside, and we had no idea who they were. And we might not ever know. Yeah. You know, and that's the scary part, that they can come to a news organization They're so afraid of a news organization that in 2013, they have to come. When did you come in here? Like 2016?
2014.
2014. Yeah. So it was right after you got here. You know, who knows what the hell's going on anywhere? You sent me this Wikipedia on the intelligence support activity, the ISA. And you're saying this was the group that was actually coming after you guys. So it's this special operation forces mission outfit, I guess through the United States Army, and they were created, I guess, under the Reagan administration. But what turned you on to this as a group that was coming after you guys? How did you find out about this?
So there's another reporter and a few other whistleblowers that I've spoken to. And I've gotten more confirmation with other people, but this group, they go by the activity or TFO Task Force Orange. They, are one of the most secret DOD groups there is. They are, how do you put it, more elite in intelligence gathering than, you know, the SEALs or any other group, Delta Force. These guys, a lot of them have what's called like human intelligence training. So, they have this human training. They go to the farm, which is CIA. They learn a lot of their tradecraft there, and then they can be used here domestically. And a lot of people I've talked to believe that they were behind a lot of the ops on January 6th that day. And they were out there in the field, undercover, inciting, pushing people to get them to do that. And this was all pretty much under, from what I hear, the command of General Milley.
Huh, of course, General Milley. But it says here, air assault, clandestine, human and covert action, close quarters battle, counterintelligence, counterterrorism, direct action, hostage rescue, human, that's human intelligence, intelligence assessment, irregular warfare, ISTAR. Is that just a global positioning system? I don't know what ISTAR is. What does that stand for?
That one I'm not sure. Let me see.
Long-range penetration, maneuver warfare, military communications, military intelligence. I mean, this seems like this is and they're referred to as Task Force Orange, originally supported by the United States Army Intelligence.
So there's a book, too. They go by TFO or Task Force Orange. Mm-hmm. That's like their more known name. The original name was The Activity. There's a book about them called The Killer Elite. I actually read about them when I was in prison. People send me books all the time. And when I got home and started kind of looking into January 6th and what happened that day, I started talking to people, and I knew The Activity from that book. It wasn't until I made the connection that The Activity and TFO, Task Force Orange, were the exact same thing. So, you know, these people need to be looked into. They're the ones who are behind a lot of the chaos, I believe, that we see in this country against patriot groups and things like that, to demonize us, to make us look a certain way. They're good at what they do.
Hey guys, bring up that still on ISTAR again, because it showed what, you know, this is support intelligence activity, intelligence, surveillance, target acquisition and reconnaissance. I mean, that's basically everything else kind of encompasses, except for the air assault, I guess, but target acquisition is sort of air assault. You're going to do that. So ISTAR kind of is the catch all for everything. It's like, oh, we didn't get everything, so here's ISTAR on top of, everything else. And I mean, this just seems like a group, you know, how big is this group? I guess they're operating all over the world, because there's no, like with the CIA, they're not supposed to operate domestically, but this group can operate domestically, obviously.
And the numbers are, classified. So there's no like known amount, of people. But I'm going to be having some conversations with the people in the coming weeks that I know they're involved in, you know, investigating these individuals for their role that day. And, you know, we're going to figure it out, but, it's sad.
Are you putting this on camera, or is this behind the scenes stuff that you're going to be doing?
This is going to be behind the scenes at first, but it will at some point be on camera.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's incredible what you guys have gone through. It's like they almost found the perfect group that they could demonize. And when you look at reality, when you look at what the Proud Boys were really doing, you know, the only time they ever got into altercations is when they were being attacked. There was never any time where the Proud Boys were going, we're going to go hunt Antifa, because Antifa was always coming after the people, and you were standing there in between them letting people, hey, here's our First Amendment. Crazy stuff. We're going to be back after the break, talk about some more articles that are out there. Irish sitcom creator arrested over a social media post. I mean, that's going to be coming this way soon. Stay tuned with our guest, Joe Biggs.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. So it's been helping me out for the last 3 years, lost 22 pounds. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble bashing, like getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene Blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on in my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about Methylene Blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered 2 bottles of it because he had buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take 2 of those a day.
And you're saying with the Methylene Blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our Methylene Blue, and it's kept you regress, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
right now? I'm walking.
Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to. Don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly.
Yeah.
Where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the Methylene Blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down, and I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take 2 of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take 1 pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that's great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the Methylene Blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take 2 pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is,
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Well, thank you.
Me having it.
Thank you for sharing your story, and thank you for helping your family too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know, but no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Broadcasting the finer details of truth beneath the surface of the mainstream filth.
Yeah. And they are some filthy mother scratchers. Ask Biggs to send me some articles because I want to know what he wanted to talk about in addition to his case and the what's going on there. We got about 10 minutes, Joe, before I'm going to jump out and go to this kind of Francis Boyle compilation. But I want to go over this Irish sitcom creator arrested over a social media post. I'm going to read a social media post, and then you tell me why five cops had to come to his house and arrest him. He said he was in an airport. If a trans-identified male is in a female-only space, he is committing a violent, abusive act. Make a scene, call the cops, and if all else fails, punch him in the balls.
That sounds pretty standard for me.
Yeah, I mean, it seems kind of funny, you know. I think. He posted another one. It looks like a group of probably migrants, I'm assuming. It says a photo you can smell. And there's the photo right there.
Yeah, I don't think he's lying. I mean, he's even a comedian. So it's like, come on.
He's a total comedian. I mean, he literally started sitcoms in Ireland. But, I mean, this is what it's come to. In the UK, they're arresting you for your tweets, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, Europe is falling. That whole area. I mean, I remember when I was in Paris last time working with you guys.
Yeah.
And it was jihadied up then. I mean, it was frightening just how much it had changed then. And that's like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I can only imagine how bad it is now. It's got to look like a mixture of Iraq, Afghanistan, and Ethiopia at this point. You know, it's insane that we're at a point where, you know, if Americans don't really take their freedom seriously, if they don't really take a stand and really get involved locally in politics and things like that, we're not going to be too far behind them because, you know, it's not going to be long before one of these politicians who always talks about banning firearms is going to do it. Once that's gone, we're going to be Europe, and it's going to be jail time for tweets. It's going to be jail time for defending yourself against an immigrant because you don't want your daughter raped. It'll be jail time if your 12-year-old daughter brandishes a hatchet and a knife to protect herself or her younger sister from being attacked by a known pedophile. So, you know, it's sad to see that that's happened over there, and people need to look at that right now. Americans need to get serious about it. They need to understand that this fight that we're in right now, this info war, this battle for the soul and spirit of America is never ending. And it's not going to get easier. It's going to get harder. But it's worth the fight. This experiment that's called America is a beautiful thing. And I'm not ready for it to be over. And people need to be willing to stand up, and you need to be vocal, and people need to hear you when you see this kind of stuff happen and show that cause for concern that we don't want America to turn into Europe right now. Europe used to be this beautiful, vibrant place, and it is turning into a crappy, you know, poop hole. I'll just say that. So
totally is.
It's psychotic to see how quickly it's happened too.
Yeah.
And, I never thought in a million years I would see something like that happen, but it is frightening to see that the kind of people that we have in power, the kind of people that continue to get in power, and the kind of hold that the deep state has over the elections and things like that. We've already had one stolen election. There's no telling how many others in the past have been that way. We know that local elections are stolen. That's why they want to import migrants from other countries, because it's like that scene in the what was that movie? The Gangs of New York. When the guy's sitting there
at
the boat ramps and saying, vote for me, you know, and I'll give you a free place to stay. Well, that's what the Democrats do. They give you your Obama phone.
As you're crossing the river, here's your phone, here's your card, you know.
Yeah, and that's their game plan.
Yeah, yeah, and then they come after you. It's ridiculous. So, speaking of that, now we're seeing reverse kind of protesting in other countries. Gringos leave. Protests targeting travelers rise as over tourism anger grows. So people going to Mexico and living there or being a tourist there is starting to piss people off. We're starting to see the other side get mad for when it comes back to their place. You know, it's
welcome to our world.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you the people coming from America down there aren't, you know, taking dumps on the sidewalk. They're not going around violently gang raping.
They're not waving American flags, you know.
Yeah. You know, it blows my mind. Like, people expect us to sit here and go, yeah, you can come into my country and you can crap on my floor and you can break into my home and I can't do anything about it. And you can get a license and become a truck driver. And don't even have to pay taxes. And I'm just supposed to sit here and roll over and accept
give you
it.
Money to buy
but
a
if
house.
I go over to another. Yeah. But if I go to another country and I start singing the American, you know, the national anthem, and I demand that you speak English, and I start waving American flags, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to lock me up in jail or throw me in an insane asylum or kill me.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Trust me, I've snuck into countries before. They don't like it. But for some reason, we're allowed to do it here. You know, it's like you can just come in here and take a dump all over the Constitution and
it's celebrated. It's literally celebrated by some people when that happens. They're like, yay, we're in the evil empire. When we do a lot of good, we do. And if we weren't here, this world would be a lot more screwed up. I don't think people realize that. And you've a man who's gone to fight for this country. You've seen what happens when we go to other parts of the world and how we're treated and then what our actions are the result of, you know, and you've, if anyone has got a, their head screwed on straight into how this is going. It's you being, you know, in all these different facets. So tell people where they can find out more about you and what you're going to be doing here in the future.
Well, we're suing the DOJ. Hopefully, we will get that case, in front of the judge and get into the discovery phase. And that's when, we start talking about settlements and things like that. Yeah. You know, the DOJ took a lot of time for me in my life and, you know, that needs to be made right. We were set up. Trump's even admitted. Pelosi's yeah. even said that this is her whole deal. We know it was wrong, but for some reason, there's people inside the government still fighting tooth and nail to keep the truth from coming out and to not let us get our lives back. If you want to find me at on X, it's at Real Rambo Biggs. That's the only place I'm not banned, so that's really about it. I do everything I can on there. You know, I've had to go through multiple accounts. I've got my third one up now, almost 16,000, and I've been busting my butt doing that. But, you know, we're not going anywhere, and the Proud Boys are going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to stand up for Americans all over this country. We're going to stand up for free speech, and, you know, we're all in.
All in,
we love this country, and we're not backing down. So you're not going to get rid of us this easy.
And I tell you what, you know, you didn't get a full pardon. You got a commutation. But I tell you, I thought that was the biggest thing Trump doing, at least getting you guys out of prison so you could start to rebuild your lives. And I hope you guys get a full pardon and you get some money back on the back end because they did you guys wrong and they need to pay.
Yeah, we're pushing for those pardons. It's not easy right now, though. There's too many people stonewalling between Trump. You know, I've gone through every avenue I can imagine, a lot of the same contacts that you guys have, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not an easy battle, but we're not done. We're going to keep fighting.
All right.
So thank you.
He's a fighter. Stay tuned. And we talked about having you come back, do a full hour, next week sometime. Get you, you know, if you want to have somebody on, you just take over. We're kind of rotating people through here as we, search, I guess, for our new host or just mainly just to get different voices, perspectives out here, here in the War Room time slot from 3 to 6 PM. So thanks for joining us, Joe. Good luck and best of everything, man. I hope you do. I hope you come through. I hope you get vindicated.
Thanks, Brother Ben. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it, guys.
Totally. It's great to have Joe Biggs on. it's just funny, man, seeing him with a white beard from where he came from when he came here. It was a younger man then back in the day. 2014, so that's over 10 years ago. Time flies here in the info war. I've been here since 2009, so I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of people come and go. And, you know, it's always interesting when we get new people in here and bringing them in and seeing what they do. But just let everybody know before we go to this next video, we're going to play for – you guys got the first video, right, of the whistleblower lady. And then we're going to go into the Francis Boyle compilation of why the establishment would not want Francis Boyle around, because he knew everything before anything came out. This guy was telling us everything. So don't forget alexjonesstore.com. You can get your war bonds, $100, get you a war bond, get you $110 of credit, 25% off apparel store-wide, and 40% off all knives and silver coins. So take advantage of that, thealexjonesstore.com. It's how you support what we're doing here into the future and beyond as we keep fighting the New World Order. And here is Francis Boyle.
Now, there was a sixth witness, Professor Francis Boyle, who is actually expert on bioweapons, having drafted several bioweapons conventions-related laws in the U.S., and 3 weeks after he agreed to testify on behalf of the plaintiffs that these products and the process was deployment of bioweapons, he suddenly died. And we still don't know the cause of death. And the only thing that we know is he was perfectly healthy prior and was teaching full time. He was in his mid 70s. And this was a shock to all of us. And we, so this looks very suspicious to me. I can't speculate on what happened, but I would really like to know the cause of death, and we don't know that. So that's where we are right now. This is how serious it is. These people stop at nothing.
Professional activities. I routinely monitor outbreaks of disease affecting humans and animals around the world just to see if there might be a biowarfare agent at work. So when this coronavirus began to be reported there in China, I began looking into it and researching it, and I won't go through it all here. But eventually it was my considered judgment that this was a biological warfare agent that had leaked out of the Wuhan biosafety level 4 laboratory that has a previous history of leaks there. And so BSL-4 laboratories have basically one purpose, and that is to research, develop, test, and stockpile biological warfare weapons. Put aside all the propaganda in support of these things anyone, but that's why they're there. There's no legitimate scientific health reason for BSL-4 laboratories. So at that point, I did put out a notice on the internet, saying that I thought it was a biowarfare weapon, and it had gain of function properties, which meant it was DNA genetically engineered to be more lethal and more infectious than, say, a normal biowarfare agent. And ever since I gave that interview, which was, I don't know, I guess 2 weeks ago or so today, all the evidence coming out has confirmed my conclusion. It does appear this is a DNA genetically engineered chimera, that it has in it, as you correctly pointed out, the HIV. Now, I believe the Indian researchers have been pressured to withdraw by their government because they have good relations with China, that study. But I read it, and it's quite convincing, and they have the pictures there. I also believe it has the flu virus in there, and then it also has SARS. That lab is reported to do SARS work. So at a minimum, I think that is what we are facing right now, based on all the evidence I have seen. I never turned against the power elite. I was pretty much a mole for the peace movement there at Harvard.
No. I mean, you've been on many times. That's right. You were there. They thought you'd go with them, but you never actually worked for them. You're right.
And I never intended to. I always intended to oppose the global onion.
By the way, when I had the Kissinger group try to hire me, the head of the Kissinger group, in front of a crew member, say, "You're just going to join us. This is dumb." I was never with them. They just thought I would immediately serve them. I think that's what you're saying.
That's correct. But to get back to this Wuhan coronavirus, it's quite serious. As you know, because the work I did calling for and drafting the U.S. implementing legislation for the Biological Weapons Convention, which is known as the Biological Weapons Anti-Terrorism Act of 1989. It was passed unanimously by both houses of the United States Congress and signed into law by President George H. Bush Sr. I was even invited to the signing ceremony at the wedding house at the White House, but it was canceled because Gorbachev was coming to town. And, of course, world peace was, I guess, more important than the signing ceremony. In any event, my legislation was specifically designed to deal with the abuse of DNA genetic engineering to research, manufacture, and develop biological weapons. So since that work, starting in the early 1980s, I have routinely watched the outbreaks of infectious diseases against animals and human beings around the world to see if there was a biological warfare agent at work. And so I did pay attention to what was going on there in Wuhan. And based on all the sources I could find at that time and confirmed since then, this appears to be an extremely dangerous biological warfare agent that leaked out of that Wuhan BSL-4, biosafety level 4 facility in Wuhan itself. The notion that this came from some fish market is a total canard. That was the leading BSL-4 facility in China. And I want to make it clear, Alex, I'm not here to bash China or the Chinese people or their communist government. Under international law, they can have whatever government they want over there. But this is a matter of world public health. And that BSL-4 facility, we have large numbers of BSL-4 facilities here in the United States, now in the Western developed capitalist world. These BSL-4 facilities have no legitimate scientific or medical purpose at all. They have one purpose, and that is to research, develop, test, use, stockpile offensive biological weapons.
Purely offensive.
Purely offensive, although they try to justify it by saying, oh, we're developing vaccines. Well, that might be true, Alex, but the way this is done is they first DNA genetically engineer the offensive agent to kill people. And then they reverse engineer the technology to develop the vaccine, because you do not have an effective biological weapon.
You don't have a cure without the disease.
That is correct. You can't use the offensive agent unless you can inoculate your own people with the vaccine. So that is what has been going on at that Wuhan
BSL. And that's what my Pentagon sources told me a week and a half ago. They believe it's a leaked weapon. They were planning for us or others developing a vaccine for themselves, but somehow they thought it was edited so it would be continuated or however it works, and then it somehow mutated or it didn't work. The live vaccine failed. They don't know. They just believe it was an offensive weapon they were developing a vaccine for that somehow got out. Is that sound accurate?
That's correct. They were doing both, and that's how all these hideous BSL-4 labs work here in the United States. And indeed, President Trump should shut down every BSL-4 facility here in the United States and BSL-3 before this happens to me. But my assessment, Alex, is that then whatever they were working on leaked out. It probably, the first reported human case of this was December 1. So it seems to me it probably, there was an incident there, maybe mid-November, and the Chinese government has been lying about it and covering it up ever since. This will be a fantastic fraud and existentially dangerous to be perpetrated on the American people that, oh, well, now we have a COVID-19 vaccine, and it's been approved by the FDA. Big Pharma ran a big ad there in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, I read every day, saying to the American people, oh, don't worry about our vaccines. They'll be approved by the FDA. Well, this is even worse than the fox being in charge of the chicken coop.
Well, sure. It's just like saying, don't worry, I'm going to shoot you with a 12-gauge shotgun slug, but it's been approved by the FDA. What does that even mean? It means it's got liability protection. They're saying, don't worry, we're protected. Like Bill Gates said, a lot of you are going to get sick, but don't worry, the FDA is going to certify it.
Right. And so just to give your listeners, your viewers, just a ballpark figure of what's going to happen here with these vaccines, again, on the U.S. troops, 500,000 were injected 11,000 were killed, if not outright murdered. I accuse at the defense of Captain Dr. Hewitt Vaughn that this is a Nuremberg crime on our own troops. And 100,000, one-fifth, were disabled. So at a minimum, this is what, and they were prepared to do this. They did this, the FDA did this to our own troops. We're not even talking.
That's right. They set the table for the media to cover it up, for liability protection. What is the larger agenda then of making us do this? Depopulation, sterilization?
That's the only way to see it, that I see it now, right? And control and depopulation and debilitation, right? That's the agenda here. The most critical thing now for me to point out is this. As we know, on December 10, the FDA is meeting to give this emergency authorization to these two messenger RNA so-called vaccines. Let me go back to you, Alex, to the original article we discussed in February on the proof, the smoking gun, that the COVID-19 came out of that UNC BSL-3 North Carolina with the bat queen from Wuhan BSL-4. If you have a look on it, one of the principal investigators was the Food and Drug Administration, the same people who are going to be giving this emergency approval to this, I would call Frankenshot, on Thursday, are the same people who developed COVID-19. Let me read the principal authors here. There are eight of them, in addition to the Bat Queen. Quote, National Center for Toxicological Research, Food and Drug Administration. So the Food and Drug Administration were working in cahoots with the Bat Queen from the Wuhan BSL-4. And these are the people who on Thursday are going to be giving this emergency use authorization to these extremely dangerous messenger RNAs. Now, you know, if you've taken a course in genetics, you know how powerful messenger RNA is. It goes into your body. It can do anything. It can just turn around the genetic composition of your body. We have no idea what these Frankenshots are going to do.
Well, that's what the most prestigious scientists out there, we're talking chief, you know, science officers, you know, of Pfizer, are like, this could turn your immune system off or kill you in a storm of antibodies, or it could attack your placenta. I mean, this is like playing around with hydrogen bombs.
That's exactly right. And but again, the critical point is the Food and Drug Administration manufactured COVID-19 with the Bat Queen for the Wuhan BSL-4. And now on Thursday, apparently, they're going to give this emergency approval for these Frankenshots that they say are going to protect us from the COVID-19 that the FDA helped develop. I mean, this is truly evil.
We need funds. We're fighting the globalists at Point Blank Range. And they got a receivership hearing with Judge Warren Gamble that ran the Texas show trial next week to send the sheriffs here. I get it could be within days next Wednesday to shut us down. And I'm sure we'll get lots of funds then once we're shut down. Be like, oh, God, he really did need help. Oh, yeah. We have been battling and battling and barely surviving. They turned the internet off here before. They had a fake sale to Bloomberg's front group. Remember all that? And it was because we didn't give up and the crew didn't give up. When I told the crew, no, we're going to beat this, don't go. And I stayed here and slept here a couple times. We're still here. And because you bought the products, we had enough money for lawyers to go battle it and beat it. Everybody listening needs to get off the fence, get off the bench, get up at the plate, and needs to go become a VIP. $30 a month. See it as a donation. You get $40 each month to spend the store. Sales on top of everything. Special deals. Special offers just to you. It's insane. And then if you really just want to support and you don't want methylene blue or turmeric, you're crazy if you don't, or Ultimate Life Force, the best cardiovascular spike protein detox, everybody should be taking it. I mean, it's the best. Ultimate Life Force is the best cardiovascular, heart health, spike protein detoxer. Every man, woman, and child should take at least one regimen of it, see how you feel. It does dramatic things. We have the strongest turmeric. You should get it. And I got a lot of news to cover. I won't sit here and beat a dead horse, but the news we get out is so powerful, and it's that less than 1% of people that buy stuff at theoxygenstore.com that make all this possible. And this fight is your fight. They want us off the air because they want to shut down focal points of organizations that hold the Trump administration's feet to the fire and warn Trump and warn his advisors and have a big effect and big pull, as the administrations have said and as the Democrats have said. They've come after Trump. They've sued Trump. They've had their operatives in there, and they see our stuff everywhere. Step into the zone of history and understand that you are the key. You are the variable. You are the Paul Revere's. You are the resistance. And this dog don't hunt without you.